Good evening. We're going to get it started, although I don't have a quorum. I'm at least going to try to go through some of the introductory remarks that I have that I usually give, and then hopefully my colleagues will be here. I know we're going to be missing at least three members of the committee who have various personal and other matters that have told us they won't come, and a fourth colleague is going to be late. So we need four members of the committee to have a quorum, and while there's several other counselors here, they're not on the committee. So let me at least start over the preliminary for what we're going to do this evening and try to use our time efficiently. So my name is Mark Laredo. I am a counselor at large from Ward 7. I chair the Land Use Committee. This is a special meeting of the Land Use Committee because we usually meet on Tuesday evenings. Obviously, tonight is Thursday. We're going to be taking up two matters this evening. The first relates to the property known as the street. That will be a very short proceeding. I trust no more than a few minutes. That's simply going to involve a request by the petitioner to revise their current petition to reduce it, essentially splitting it off into two. I'll let them explain that later. I suspect none of you are here for that one. But if you are, we'll certainly go through that first. And then we're going to be taking up the old building project, which I expect is what most folks are here for. So let me introduce my colleagues who are here. We'll go over the protocol, and then I do need to wait till I have a quorum, unfortunately. In front of me is Councilor Ruth Ann Fuller, my colleague at large from Ward 7, not a member of the committee. Behind her is Councilor Susan Albright. Busy fixing a microphone or whatever. Councilor at large from Ward 2, but not a member of the committee. And to my right is Councilor Greg Schwartz. He's vice chair of the committee. Councilor at large from Ward 6. We have four members from city staff here. We have Rita Young and Robert Waddick from the legal department. Alexandra Anand from the planning department. And our committee clerk, Nadia Khan, is seated to my immediate right. I trust most of you have been here before. The protocol is pretty straightforward. I'm going to take public comment this evening first, and I'm going to start off with anyone who did not speak last time. And Ms. Khan has a nice list for me. We'll go through that list in order. I want to make sure those people get taken first. And then I'm going to take public comment from anyone and everyone who wants to speak this evening, subject to certain limitations, and the limitations are as follows. I'm really going to ask that anyone who wants to speak keeps their remarks to 3 minutes or less. I know a couple of people have asked me for a minute or two more, and I'll try to indulge that. But if we go on and on, two things that are not productive happen. One, your neighbors don't get to speak, and that's really unfair for them. Two, we don't get to do our work, which is deliberate and talk to the petitioners among ourselves and with the planning department about the project. So while it's extremely important to get public comment, we also have to have time, frankly, to do our work. And third, it's this committee's practice to finish our meetings. I try to finish promptly by 10 p.m. every evening. I've explained why before. I think it's critically important that folks have an opportunity to deliberate while they're alert. That many of us have day jobs that we need to get to the next day or coming from our day jobs before we get here. You all have jobs, many of you have families to be with, and frankly, I personally think if government doesn't function particularly well at midnight or 1 in the morning, except perhaps in extraordinary circumstances. So that's our practice. When you recognize to come to the podium, you state your name, you state your address, you give your remarks. Everything we do in here is audio taped. And you're, of course, welcome to provide additional remarks to us in writing. I'll add two things. One, we're going to be taking this matter up again at least twice in January. It's my intent in those meetings to start crafting a board order. That doesn't mean we're going to approve this project. We may or may not. That's going to be the will of the council, but it's customary for us to have a board order, at least for the full council to deliberate on. We're going to have, Ms. Young, we're going to have the board order circulated in advance of our first meeting. It will be posted. Any comments on the language of the board order would be most helpful. And if you want to provide those particularly in writing, to MISCON. They get circulated to the committee. If you notice we don't do something right, or there's a particular concern you have about wording, or we didn't cover something, that's very, very useful for us to know, and we greatly appreciate that. I will entertain public comment at least at the first meeting in January. I haven't decided yet whether we're going to close the public hearing at that point or not. At some point, again, we really have to have time to deliberate and work on the language of a proposed order, and for a project of this nature, the board order is quite complicated. There's a lot of moving pieces, and we want to make sure that we get it right as we craft something. So that's going to be our protocol for this evening. And we've been joined by Councilor Jay Harney, Ward Councilor from Ward 4, member of the committee. We still are missing a...
Ms. Young, can I start or not yet?
Right. I can't start yet. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to step off the podium. I'm going to see if I can track down a couple of my missing colleagues, and hopefully we'll try to get started. I truly apologize on behalf of my colleagues. We schedule meetings at a certain time. You have the right to expect us to begin promptly. I take that responsibility very seriously. I know my colleagues do as well. So for all of us, I apologize for the delay. Just give us hopefully just a few more minutes. So we've been joined by Councilor Jim Cote, Councilor at Large from Ward 3, a member of the committee, and we are ready to begin. I'm going to start off with the folks who did not speak last time, but before that, let me get to the shopping center first. So this is 261-16 parens 2, close parens, special permit petition to allow site and building improvements at the street. And Attorney Frank Stearns is here for the petitioner, and again, it's a request to simply withdraw without prejudice certain portions of that. Good evening, Attorney Stearns.
Good evening. Just a quick reminder, this was filed as one petition affecting multiple buildings at the street, affecting the building that is the old theater building, which we refer to as 27 Boylston Street, as well as the new theater building, which we refer to as 55 Boylston Street. We've had a couple of public hearings. We've had a lot of stakeholder and community interest, particularly on the building that the container store is in, the 27 Boylston Street building, and the related proposal to have some pond-side buildings over there. We have gotten far less comments and questions about the modest project at the former sort of building. The building where the theater is now located, the new theater. We have some pretty significant tenant requirements to move forward more quickly with the 55 Boylston Street building project, with the infill project there, in order to relocate some existing tenants on the site. And so the request has been that in order to do that efficiently is to, for now, withdraw the component of the request related to the 27 Boylston Street building and the pond buildings. To move forward, not tonight, but to with the council approving the request to do a partial withdrawal, to move forward on a more expedited schedule with the 55 Boylston Street component of the project, and then to refile for the 27 and the pond buildings thereafter, so that those would be heard separately. So under state law, because the hearing has been advertised, it's a requirement that the request for partial withdrawal be approved by majority vote of the permit granting authority.
Okay. Thank you, Attorney Stearns. Is there any member of the public who wishes to be heard on that matter? All right. Seeing none, any questions by any of the councilors as to the request for withdrawal? Right. Yes. Just as a matter of protocol, we're going to be taking this up when again this time? Third week in January 10th? All right, we're going to take it up January 10th. It's my intent, Attorney Stern, to try to take that up then and to vote out the portion of the project that's left, since I think the vast body of controversy over this, and frankly the much harder portion of the project for us to grapple with, is the one you're withdrawing. So if you would so advise your client and any of the interested neighbors that it's my intent to try to vote it out that evening, I'd appreciate that.
Absolutely.
All right. Do I have a motion to approve the partial withdrawal? Motion by Councilor Cody. All in favor of the partial withdrawal? Four in favor, none opposed. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right. Now on to the body of our meeting. We have two items which are hearing together. 180-16 Prent 2, Mark Newtonville LLC. Petition for a change of zone to mixed use 4 for land at 22 Washington. There's a series of plots, all known as the Orr Building property. And then 179-16, a special permit for the Orr Building at Walnut Street and Washington Street, also by Mark Newtonville LLC, all in Ward 2. And we're going to start off with the folks who did not have a chance to speak last time. Fred Arnstein, Marianne Lauterbach, Karen Bennett, in that order, and we'll keep going after that. Good evening. Is that working?
Yep, you're good.
Good. Thank you.
This is like playing to a hall where there's only four people sitting out there. But it doesn't matter as long as they are with you.
They're the most important four. Leave it at that.
Good evening. My name is Fred Arnstein, 7 Briar Lane, Newtonville. I'm the president of Neighbors for a Better Newtonville. I last talked to you in June when we looked into Newtonville's demographics and housing statistics. As the months have gone by, I've learned about many things. Toxic spills, option 1 and option 2, the impact of parking, the myths and realities of affordable housing, and it's become clear to me that as important as all those specific topics and controversies are, there's a bigger picture, which is the uncertainty of Newton's political context as it is right now, that's really fundamental to your decision. That's what I want to talk about. For many years, there have been powerful forces pushing for real estate development in Newton. The good news, to me, is that many in Newton have tried to resist that push, sometimes successfully, so that the Garden City hasn't yet moved farther towards a completely different identity. Newton's comprehensive plan of 2007 was a balanced document. The amendment of 2011 pointed to more density, but was still balanced by care about preserving the character of the villages. In 2012, the balance shifted with the creation of the MU4 zone and a plan to implement it in targeted village centers and the rezoning of the Austin Street parking lot to MU4. Now it's 2016. We've seen a vision from the mayor that pushes further towards urbanization, and for the first time, a private developer is petitioning for MU4 zoning for a big and controversial project, which is what we're talking about here. Mr. Cork and his organization are taking advantage of the concept that Washington Street will become a corridor of development in its own way, similar to Needham Street on the south side. It may not be news to you, but I was surprised to learn last week that the Cork organization has bought another property along Washington Street, Zach's Auto Service. The barn is located just steps away on Kempton Place, which is a rather obscure turn off of Washington Street. So you've probably used Zach's Auto Service, even if you didn't notice the name of it, as a landmark so you could turn in there. Well, Zach's Auto Service is now in the hands of Mark Kempton, LLC. No, Mark Kempton, the whole street, not Mark Auto Service. The lot where the barn is located and two adjacent properties are owned by estates of the recently deceased owner. The barn itself has publicly spoken about wanting to move to Mr. Cork's development in Newtonville. So we, fully believe that the plan is to assemble a new package, something like the Ore Block, but closer to West Newton. But as this is happening within a political landscape that is shifting and has become uncertain, and that's what I want to emphasize. So, four things. Number one, the vision of a more urban Newton has not been fully mandated by community sentiment and support. In fact, it's hardly been mandated at all, and I will include more about that in the letter that I will send. Number two, the city is in the process of comprehensively reconsidering all our zoning districts. We know that city staff and consultants are promoting urban-type development, but rezoning is still unfinished. What with community input, maybe a lot of unsolicited input, the outcome of that is unknown. Number three, we have a mayor who's leaving us. He's a powerful advocate for urbanization. In his housing plan, the mayor would like to move special permit granting to the city administration rather than leaving it to the council to conduct messy debates where citizens can actually express their views. Who will the new mayor be? What will her or his priorities be? We don't know yet. Number four, we have a charter commission that would like to reduce the number of city councilors, which would also reduce citizen participation. But the charter commission's recommendations may be rejected by the citizens. These are huge uncertainties. In the face of them, now is not the time to approve a one-parcel rezoning that will set a precedent for Mark Kempton, the gas station, and untold other properties. I'm speaking particularly to those of you who love the Washington Place vision, the buildings, the amenities, the community benefits, to those of you who support a more urban Newtonville. We disagree, but I know you have good intentions for the city. But there's no doubt in my mind that this is not the time to move forward with them. The city and the village will do fine at this point with the Ore Block's current zoning. It is simply the right thing to do to deny the petition until the many political uncertainties are resolved after next November. Every single member of this body and the whole council should be voting no. There really is no other correct alternative. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Lauterbach, are you here? Ms. Bennett? Ms. Jackie O'Toole, come on up, please, Ms. O'Toole.
I'm Jackie O'Toole. I live at 17 Turner Terrace in Newtonville. First of all, I want to thank everybody that I've seen how much hard work and effort and considerations are going into all of this and how complicated it is. So both to you guys and everybody else, I do appreciate that as a citizen in Newtonville. My husband was not able to be here tonight because he's out of town, but his biggest, the thing that has upsets him most about the project is when we bought our single-family home in Newtonville, it was an area with, that's what we bought, in Newtonville, with the zoning as it was. And now, not only does Court Street, which is very close to our house, suddenly become not just a street of small numbers of families, or one family, or two families, etc. But we have this enormous, large amount of people moving in there. But of course, nobody thinks about that anymore because we have the other two humongous things that we're facing that will totally change the nature of our lifestyle in that neighborhood. It's not where we moved to. We moved to a place that was zoned to be not that, and we deserve, just like other people, to not have that forced upon us. The other thing I'm wondering about is they talk about it very ideally like a transit hub. And although, like many people who live in that neighborhood, we very much enjoy that we can have the option to use commuter rail. My daughter does use the bus service, but there's no way we would be living there without a car. And I just want, I know you yourself have sometimes asked for a show of hands, and I just want to know how many people here came tonight without a car. I would have liked to walk myself, but it was really nice to know I had that car. And I think people who live in Newtonville and move there are going to find that they're going to want a car. I very much appreciate the bike lanes. Love them when I lived in Copenhagen. This bike lane doesn't seem like a bike lane. It seems like lip service to look good. I don't mean to say that disparagingly to people who try to work out a nice plan, but if a bike lane only goes a couple hundred feet, what does the bike do when it gets to the sidewalk out bump or whatever else it is? It seems not, I don't understand it. If we're going to do bike lanes, let's do them properly. Lowell Street is straighter. It's flatter, which I would appreciate, which is also less dangerous because there's no curves, et cetera. So I kind of wonder about that, although I know it's very well intentioned. There's something else that I don't really know about, but I'm sure you guys do. I hear a lot of talk about businesses, business tax, that Newton doesn't have enough of business tax coming in, and it's more residential. And I certainly hope that if this does go through, that this isn't going to be something that changes the balance of businesses to residents. Because hearing the number of units in here, I can't imagine that even if we were having more business revenue, that it would balance whatever's needed for the taxes of housing, not only those many people, but the many people in the other side of the pike and the other side of Washington that are moving in. So I hope that very careful consideration is given to that. The New Arts Center, I was very happy. Found it lovely that the New Arts Center would have space there because I like the arts, like I'm sure most of us do. But it sounded like I don't understand that. I don't understand the whole part about how it'd be used for all these other lovely community spaces. We're talking about a couple of blocks from Newton North. School does get out. We do the adult ed there, I think. I'm sure we do lots of things there. I think that that could be utilized for a lot of things. There's a senior center nearby. I think there'll be other solutions, so I wouldn't want to give up on the business revenue for that, although I'm sure I love the idea of community getting to do things, but I was
confused to that.
The thing that's actually closest to my heart, which really made me want to come to tell you about this, is that living on Turner Terrace, there's been a lot of building of mostly people putting up large two-family homes, and then we have the whole Court Street thing that happened. On Court Street, there were 9 units of people that weren't really counted as living in affordable housing, but they were people that managed to live in pretty darn affordable housing, and maybe not as nice as it would have been in another town, but they really wanted to live in Newton. They had to leave. Now, I know we're not here to talk about Court Street, but when I talked about those people, I was told, oh, that's not what this is about. This is all about the affordable housing law. And I know that there's some component of getting the capital A affordable housing for certain units to come back to that building there. There's a lot of counting. There's a lot of ratios. There's a lot of figuring. It doesn't seem to me that that housing would be as affordable as people have before these developments are made. It doesn't seem that there's as many of them. And what I really hope, but I haven't seen, is anybody really keeping track of who's having to leave Newton to build these things? Because I've met people who have.
Ma'am, I'm going to ask you to wrap up, please.
I will. Thank you. I appreciate that. I had a neighbor who lived there for 20 years. I didn't know her, but I met her shoveling snow. He had to leave. Now, maybe that's a different project, but I'm willing to bet she wasn't counted in any of these statistics, and I'm willing to bet she was not the only one. I didn't hear anybody listening for any of that, nor any of us paying attention. So if you go ahead with this project, do not do it on the idea that we are being magnanimous about a law that is going to make Newton more affordable to people who want to live here if you're forcing people who already live here out. And find a way to start counting them, even if they don't count. Thank you
very much. Next, please, Kenneth Roberts, and then I have Foster Street abutters.
Good evening. My name is Kenneth Roberts of 252 Cabot Street, Newtonville. And I'm also the Vice President and General Manager of Newtonville Camera of 249 Walnut Street in Newtonville. And I'm a lifelong resident of Newton, a graduate of Newton North, and I went to Mason where I attended junior high. Firstly, I'd like to wish a hearty happy holidays to the Honorable Chairman, the Land Use Committee members, city councilors, and my fellow citizens. Thank you all for braving the cold and coming out here to be part of this important process. I hope that you all had a nice Thanksgiving. My family actually celebrated with four generations in attendance, which is a really special first. 15 months ago, my family learned that it was likely that a developer was going to purchase the land in which Newtonville Camera is located. This was a surprise to us, as our longtime landlord had not indicated to us that they were even entertaining a sale. So we immediately began to meet with the new developer, Mr. Corp. As you all know, Mr. Corp is a 20-plus year resident of Newton and a successful developer. We've judged Mr. Corp to be personally invested and enthusiastic about the project. He's been open and inviting to constructive criticism, and we have determined that he has enjoyed the process of working with the community to shape the project into something that Newton can be proud of for years to come. But naturally, my family has some serious concerns. This is, of course, a really big change. Now, we're not afraid of change, because after all, change is about the only constant in the universe. But moving a retail business is not a small thing, and we wanted to know if this development would be a good thing for Newtonville. Well, over many months of consultation with Mr. Corp and his team, speaking with the Newtonville Area Council, attending land use committee meetings, speaking with the Ward 2 councilors, and also, of course, speaking with our neighbors, customers, and friends, we've watched the development evolve and improve, and we now feel very strongly that the Washington Street project would be a big benefit to Newton. And here's why. Number one, as you can see, it looks really nice. It's stylish and modern, but isn't gauche. It doesn't look like a weird spaceship, and it doesn't look like a boring beige office park building. And coming from a camera guy, I think it will look good in photographs. I particularly like the way the fifth floor setbacks have developed. It really adds character and makes the building welcoming. There's going to be some nice community benefits, such as upgrades to roads, sidewalks, and traffic signals in parts of Newtonville. This is going to serve to make Newtonville prettier and safer for photographers, walkers, bikers, drivers, etc. Number three, with its 160 or so residential units, a mix of low-income, middle-income, and high-income units, it's going to bring a diverse group of photographers and Newtonville Camera customers to the area. I apologize. I have a bit of a particular.
This is just fine. Keep going.
Number four, the developer, Mr. Corp, understands that small businesses like Newtonville Camera are critically important to the character, vitality, and sustainability of any village, town, or city. In fact, in Mr. Corp's original plans, he'd actually created a space for Newtonville Camera in the new development. We were very pleased to be included. However, after some consideration, we concluded that the proposed space was just a little too small for us, because believe it or not, Newtonville Camera doesn't look like it's huge, but we actually occupy about 6,600 square feet of space. In addition to that, we didn't think it'd be a great business decision to move twice in the span of 2 or 3 years. But that didn't change Mr. Clark's support of small businesses like ours. And by support, I don't just mean that he says nice things about us. Mr. Clark has been working with each resident and business with regards to relocation assistance. And if the development is approved, Mr. Clark is going to assist Newtonville Camera with relocation costs, not because he has to, but because he truly wants locally owned, family-run businesses like ours to continue to support our community's needs and to give back to the community in a virtuous cycle. I hope that you will support the development and continue to work with Mr. Clark and the community to make this a great addition to Newtonville and to Newton. This development will help make Newtonville a place that we will continue to enjoy living and working in. I'd like to thank everyone here for their support of Newton Bookhammer, a real honest-to-goodness Newton family business, one of the last of its kind. FYI, we still have cameras if you need a gift for the holidays. And thank you for your participation in our community's political process. Again, happy holidays, everybody, and thank you.
Thank you. Next, I have the Foster Street Abutters. I don't know who that was on the list. Come on up, please, ma'am. And after that is Helen Nayar. Good evening.
Hi, I'm Ellen Fitzpatrick from 20 Foster Street. I'm speaking on behalf of abutters to the proposed development. We're coming to you tonight as residents of Newtonville and of the neighborhood that is immediately adjacent to the development that's being proposed for Walnut and Washington Street. Some are young families, others have made their homes in the community for over 40 years. Either way, more than most of the people that have appeared before you at these public hearings, we speak with deep familiarity of the streets, the byways, the traffic patterns, the commercial culture, the attributes, and the needs of the area now proposed for this project. What some have called an eyesore, we call home. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak to you tonight. We do appreciate the complexity of the issues before the Land Use Committee. And we share with you an interest in promoting vibrant commercial and residential growth that's appropriate to the city's many villages, including our own. For over a year now, we've attended many meetings, as have you, with the developer, his attorney, his architects, and his staff. We've talked with several city councilors. We've listened and tried to be heard in the public hearings of the kind that you're having tonight. And in this process, it has been dismaying to see the essential issues so often obscured. The core question before this committee is whether to endorse rezoning and a score of special permits that will allow this project to proceed on the terms that have been proposed to you by the developer. The question is not whether you as councilors or we as citizens support affordable housing, more attractive streetscapes, livelier businesses, more appealing commercial districts on Washington Street. Rather, it is entirely a question of on whose terms and in what terms that change should occur. As the closest abutters to this proposed development, we support the creation of affordable new housing that meets the needs of diverse individuals and families. We see no reason why that goal cannot be achieved on the site under its current zoning. We would welcome improvements of the commercial landscape on Washington Street. We don't accept that it can only be achieved in the form that is presently before you and at the expense of the surrounding community. The current setting isn't simply a barren, decaying strip of land running along Washington Street and the Massachusetts Turnpike. It has four boundaries, not one, not two, not three. The proposed development will rise up in a setting with a streetscape and landscape that has evolved, even as it retains features that have defined this area for 150 years. It is the site of a residential neighborhood, a local historic district, one of only four in the city, a variety of small commercial shops, a diverse array of single and two-family homes, many of them rental properties. We don't object to new residences, new neighbors, new commercial enterprises, or even a new comprehensive development at this site. We have, in fact, proved very adaptable to the presence of all of these things in this part of Newtonville for many, many years. We have quite a bit of experience, after all, in living in close and congenial proximity to a mixed commercial district. At this very site. Who has more experience in that than we do? What we object to is the density, scale, height, and massing of the project before you as it is currently conceived. From our earliest meetings with the development team, we expressed openness to a new commercial and residential project on this site. We simply asked from the beginning that it not be 5 stories tall, that it not be overly dense at 171 or 164 units, that it be kept within existing zoning parameters, and that it work with rather than against the existing community. Why do we seek to retain the current zoning? We know it works. We know it will ensure that the new development won't overshadow, diminish, and destroy the residential neighborhood, the visual context of the local historic district, and the traffic patterns in this setting. Building attractive, affordable housing, creating new commercial space, and redefining streetscape requires adaptation from all of us. But it doesn't require imposing a massive structure that overshadows neighboring landscape and the existing community.
I'm going to ask you to start wrapping up, please.
I have sat through hundreds of hours of this hearing, and I have about another minute and a half to go, so I beg your forbearance. I know you've heard it all before, but for us, it's a singular opportunity to let this part of the story be heard.
Ma'am, I'm going to be really clear about something. We are trying to let everybody be heard. I'm going to certainly let you finish, but please don't suggest that we're not, as a group, trying very hard to listen to every single member of the public. I'm trying to make sure that your neighbors have an opportunity to speak, too.
I'm speaking for 8 of them right now. We ask you to think broadly about the community that you're serving. You've heard in detail the needs that have been articulated by the developer. We hope you'll be equally attentive to our concerns. Months ago, the City Planning Department submitted a report for your consideration that never mentioned the historic district that forms the north boundary of this project, which it was urging you to approve. A year ago, the city's own historical commission deemed most of the ore block preferably preserved. That judgment has not received even a mention in the weeks of hearings and months of proceedings. The focus has been entirely on what will occur once the wrecking ball flattens all of those buildings. So in closing, let me simply say that as citizens, as taxpayers and voters, we're puzzled by the degree to which the impact of this development on the northern residential boundary has not been fully addressed. We ask that you do so and preserve the existing zoning as is.
Thank you. Come on up, please. Pardon, I did. I asked for Helen Nyer and then Faith Justice. I'm sorry, I don't know who Ms. Nyer. Are you Ms. Nyer?
I am.
Forgive me, I'm sorry.
All right.
And then Faith Justice, and then I have James Paccio. I hope I'm pronouncing all these names right. We've been joined by Councillor Emery Norton, Ward Councillor from Ward 2, not a member of the committee. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Helen Nyer, and I live at 75 Grove Hill Avenue, which is actually in Newtonville, as opposed to Waltham, Watertown, Brookline, etc., from other speakers. As such, I'm a stakeholder in this quest for rezoning yet another part of Newtonville's village center. As we all know, Newton currently has a zoning plan. The ore block is zoned according to that plan. It's basically a business zoning commercial zone and brings revenue to the city in accordance with that. Many of us also know that Newton is in the process of creating a new zoning plan, and excuse me for the repetition with others. The process is being driven by expensive consultants and is an investment for this town. I'm not sure, by the way, how much and how often residents and taxpayers of Newton are being asked for their views. Nevertheless, the process is going on, and it's prudent to wait until the process is finished and can be viewed overall to determine its impact on the different villages of Newton. Spot rezoning under these circumstances is not wise and, in fact, does not make any sense. So I'm asking, therefore, that you deny this request to rezone this property at this time. Now, on a related issue, are office rental properties in Newton profitable? Why am I bringing this up? Because the development team has told us that office space is impractical, uneconomical, unprofitable, etc., etc., because of place and other arguments. Yet down the street from the ore block, Grandeur Capital Properties, LLC, recently bought 313 Washington Street for $15 million. You may or may not know about that. And what do they say about that? They say that 313 Washington Street is presently 90% leased to 24 tenants, and it's anchored by a diverse mix of analytics, technology, law, and software firms, otherwise known as office. 313 Washington Street features a highly desirable location, in this case, in the heart of Newton Corner, a premier price alternative to downtown Boston's soaring rental rates. Consequently, the property boasts exceptional historic occupancy, consistently more than 90% leased. Now, the ore block is approximately 1 mile due west, has the same opportunity to get to the Mass Turnpike and so on. So, despite the developer's contention, this is a very profitable way to go. This approach would allow the city to maintain some more appropriate level of commercial revenue. And office space can be added within the current zoning of this space. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Next, I assist Justice. Ms. Justice.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Faith Justice, and I reside at 44 Churchill Street in Newtonville. I want to thank you, Chairman Laredo, for giving me the chance to speak tonight. I've been at the last two hearings, and I was a little dismayed that most people that got up were speaking in favor of the development and were not from Newtonville, or in fact, many of them were not even from Newton. I'm here tonight to voice my opinion, my opposition to granting the zoning code overrides to the developer of the ore block. I have three main concerns. One, Newtonville Center has already lost its municipal parking lot on Austin Street to a development that was granted overrides to build a four-story, multi-purpose, multi-use building. We have no idea how that project is going to impact our neighborhood, and yet the ore project is asked, developers are asking for a larger building with more apartments and stores. I'm a customer of several of the businesses in Newtonville Center, and even now there are times when it's hard, difficult to find parking. There'll be more businesses and more residents competing for fewer spaces. The speculation that people living in these new developments will not own cars is just that. It's speculation. The only public transportation is the Framingham line, a commuter rail that runs very sporadically in Newtonville. The 59 bus that will get to the D line, but that only runs till 8 p.m., and the express buses to downtown Boston. And not everyone goes to Boston. Some work in other places, and people need to get to doctor's appointments and visit families, etc. And the reality is that most of the residents of both Ore Block and Austin Street will have at least one car. So the traffic problems and the parking situation will be more difficult all around. To my understanding, there will only be a net gain of four low-income apartments in the Ore Block, while there will be 130 units that will be at market prices. The top price being $4,500 a month, and I'm sure those people will be having cars. And finally, I've been observing the style of building that is being proposed by the developer. They're going up everywhere, Watertown, Waltham, and they are very imposing and not very attractive buildings. They don't reflect the architecture of Newtonville neighborhoods. The abutters of this project can kiss the sun goodbye if a five-story building is put in. And will this just be the tip of the iceberg? Will the taxpaying voting citizens of Newtonville continue to face larger, vaster building projects because a precedent is being set? Do we have to be bearing the burden of most of the desired density because we are not one of the more affluent villages? I'm hoping that the councillors that we vote for and support will carefully consider how this project will affect our neighborhood and will not let the project go ahead as currently proposed. Thank you very much.
Thank you, ma'am. So, are you Mr. Pachacola? All right, and then I have, I use my reading glasses these days. But then I have Diane Sanborn, Braden Houston, and Gerard Slattery, and I'll take other public comment after that, but I want to make sure we get to each person who did not speak last time. Good evening, sir.
I have a synopsis of my presentation, and it's quite large. It's one page here. Good evening, Chairman, Council members, fellow Newtonites, and concerned parties. My name is James Pacheco. I raised out in Newton Highlands on Circuit Ave. I'm a retired consultant engineer. I have four issues to discuss. Needs a rationale not to change the zoning. Issue one. I believe we have insufficient evidence showing the need for a large-scale residential development in Newtonville. Our city needs more businesses and commercial growth. We are currently seeing significant traffic congestion on Newton roadways. I can't imagine it improving with this large development. We need to have a detailed traffic study to evaluate the impact of the current large-scale development that is now in progress. We need to ensure all future projects are consistent with the city's TLD goals. Our planning and development department and council need to consider proposing a moratorium on large-scale developments that might impact our infrastructure. I believe Newton needs to provide a detailed city plan and guidelines to developers, which can clearly show what the current resource limitations are, and which improvements can clearly support the city's rationale for future needs. Until and only until these plans are done, I believe we cannot allow zoning changes in our city on large projects. It is not necessary to change the zoning. The best zoning is a site, at this site is a business use. Issue two, I consider the traffic study presented by Mr. Cross Traffic Study Consultants to be totally inadequate. My solution is an outrigger walkway design for the Newtonville Bridge. I've attached a detailed write-up titled Newtonville, a need for wider bridges and walkways, planning and development issues. Issue three, there's a contamination study at the All Block Project in Newtonville. These contaminants are polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons, PAHs. They are hazardous carcinogens, With this discovery, the abutters can require the state environmental agency to be involved. I highly recommend all the addition abutters file the Mass DEP form for their project, for their protection and their liability rights limitations. My detailed write-up is entitled, All Block Project Has PAH Contamination and Impact to Addition Abutters Downgrading Properties. Again, a lot more stuff in here. Regarding that, issue four, attached. Again, in my packet, this is my response to a review of the issues discovered in the recent local tab in July of 2016 by Jonathan Blaine to help to address contamination at Newtonville's air block. I've also responded to related comments made by Mr. Cross and his subordinates on this contamination. Also, please find enclosed hazard detailed substance reports on these carcinogens. Here are the links to other related sites. I believe there will be other petitions requesting the Mass DEP oversight and management to satisfy our concerns with this contamination. If you have any questions for me, I'll gladly try to respond to that or bring up more detail if you could hear that. But thank you for hearing my concerns.
Thank you, sir. Do we have a copy of those materials?
Yes, right here.
You have them, Ms. Khan?
All right, great. I'll make sure they get circulated if they haven't been already. Have they been circulated to us? I've lost track, but you have copies. If you want to give a copy of that to Ms. Kahn, she'll make sure it gets circulated as well.
Thank
you. All right, so we're going to take up Ms. Sanborn, Mr. Houston, Mr. Slattery, and a Ms. Fawes, Barney Fawes. I've added to the list. Good evening. Are you Ms. Sanborn? Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Diane Sanborn. I live at 48 Circuit Ave in Newton Highlands. I'd like to put forth my personal views on affordable housing in Newton. Since this past spring, I have spoken to hundreds of Newton residents, as well as to most of the shop owners and workers in my village of the Highlands. A major theme seems to be the high cost of renting and owning in this city, whether pertaining to residential or commercial space. Because of this, true diversity has been limited. Developers such as Mr. Kaur say that they hope to offset this dilemma by adding affordable rentals to their properties. This, as we know, is done by formula. My question to Mr. Kaur and the city councilors is this: affordable for whom? The median income for Newton in 2013 is given as over $116,000. Over twice that of the median income of the U.S. household, which at that time was $51,000. Median rentals for 2013 have been given as over $1,600 per month. Let us say, for example, that a subsidized small studio in Washington Place would rent for $1,200 a month. If we go by the rule of thumb that one should expect to pay one-third of one's income in rent, a subsidized tenant would be paying $14,400 per year in rent. This would mean that the tenant would have a gross income of approximately $50,000 per year. How many of Newton's service personnel, such as store clerks or cleaners, would be able to even live in a tiny studio? None of those in my village of Newton Highlands would be able to do that. I have a friend who is a lieutenant in the Newton Fire Department and has over 15 years of service, yet is unable to afford any type of housing in Newton. According to the Newton Housing Authority, there is a 3 to 5 year wait to get into affordable senior housing and a 7 to 10 year wait for families to get into public housing. What is wrong with this picture? Why should most of the people who serve Newtonites every day be kept out of our city because of the ridiculous cost of housing? Why shouldn't people who truly have a lower income not have the same opportunity to live in a safe neighborhood with accessible green space and good schools as the well-heeled? I contend that we are not encouraging true diversity in Newton. What we are doing is providing more and more housing for the same old, same old. Most of the hundreds of Newton residents I've spoken with in the past 7 months or so seem to be under the impression that affordable housing is housing for those persons I've just described. That thinking seems to be a driving force behind the support for the Washington Place project and others such as Austin and Court Street. Let us start trying to pull the wall over Newton residents' eyes and be upfront about just who is able to live in this city. Shame on us for keeping Newton truly undiversified. We do not need bigger, expensive housing in Newton. I am against any change to the current zoning laws. I urge the councilors to keep Washington Place and all other big developments to 4 stories or less. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Mr. Houston, you're here. Mr. Slattery, come on up, please, sir. And then Ms. Fawes. And there'll be opportunity for others who wish to speak as well. Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, and Counselors, thank you for hearing me tonight. My name is Gerard Slattery. I'm speaking on behalf of my father, Patrick Slattery. He owns 227 and 221 Walnut Street. We are direct abutters to this project. The first issue I'd like to address to you tonight is that there's quite a lot of issues on the north side of the project. on the border of the proposed development and with 227 Walnut Street. And there's a lot of questions that haven't been answered yet or are very incomplete in their answer. And I would refer you back to both the last design proposals, that was design A, option A, and design option B for the five-story versus the four-story design. Neither one included 227 Walnut Street in those design presentations. And till to even to right now, there's a lot of questions on how you get from the garage of this project to the end of Walnut Street as to how it's going to be. So the first issue I have is the garage that's proposed, that's coming out of this proposal. It's definitely a traffic hazard, and it's a danger both for my father's property and our tenants and for the people that are going to be the customers and the residents of that building. With the way that people are going to try to be getting out of that garage and into the parking lot and out of the parking lot at the same time, you're going to have not just a bottleneck there, but eventually you're going to have accidents. The next part of that, on the same part of that, was basically a two-lane street on the north side of the property. There's no sidewalks, there's no street lights, and it doesn't look like it's designed to be, and maybe you're just going to put up a sign that says there's no pedestrians allowed, but obviously pedestrians are going to transit that area, coming in and out of there. So somebody's going to get hurt at that point. Another part of this is that at some point somebody's going to be trying to avoid a car accident, of, you know, a fender bender. And as it stands right now, in terms of the current border, as I understand it, I don't think there's anything. Right now there's Jersey barriers on the property that would stop a car from coming through. But it looks like a car could come right through onto our property and cause damage or maybe even hurt somebody. So I'm very concerned about that. The next issue is that we're concerned about any loss of parking that's going to be happening on Washington Street from Washington Street to Foster Street, especially in front of our properties at 221 and 227 Walnut Street. It's going to have a very negative impact for all the people that live around in the area. We've already expressed before in terms of the traffic and the parking. We don't think that the studies presented so far have been sufficient. We just think from a practical standpoint, with adding a project of this scope and scale, that the streets can't handle the traffic and they can't handle the parking. So we're very concerned about that. Also, in terms of the sidewalk, we're concerned about that. Is the current sidewalk is 15 to 17 feet from the corner of on Walnut Street, from the corner of Washington Street to Foster Street. Now, while the petitioner has proposed that he's going to be actually expanding the sidewalk to about 20 to 22 feet, the actual dedicated sidewalk is only going to be about 10 to 12 feet, whereas the additional space is going to be part of a covered walkway that will either be cafe seating or sidewalk, depending upon the time of year, I guess. But it can't be both cafe seating and sidewalk at the same time. It's either one or the other. So while we appreciate that there's some diversity there, what we're also very concerned about is any loss of sidewalk going up Walnut Street towards Foster Street. Also, there's a question with regard to signage. There's been nothing presented in terms of any kind of signage on the north side of the project. We've been told as of yet that there's not going to be any, and we would hope that there would not be any, and that would be in keeping with the transition to the residential neighborhood that this project abuts, especially if it's a historic neighborhood. So we'd like to have that confirmed that that's going to be something that will be definitely be the case. Also, we do have questions in terms of, you know, with the shadow studies, we think that that's incomplete. We just think a building this size, we think it's obvious that it's going to cause a lot of shadow and detriment to the value of our property with you know, shadow being cast on our property. But so we don't think that this project has met the test of the need to be rezoned. Any of these, in terms of the housing needs or the retail needs of the city, we think can be fulfilled under current zoning.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd also like to just submit a copy of my remarks.
Absolutely. Our clerk will grab them and we'll make sure they get circulated. Barney Ross, come on up, please, ma'am.
Thank you very much.
Sorry about that. Good evening.
Right. Good evening. I am Bonnie Foz. I live at 16 Page Road, Newtonville. I'm in a butter of abutters and have lived in Newton for a very long time. And I've spoken once before to this committee about this same issue, and I was brief then and I'll be brief now. I can see how the inspiration and the concept of this development could have been very enticing in the beginning, but the physical reality of the proposal as currently presented does not work. It is simply too massive, especially in its height, and as I pointed out before, this rendering does not give an accurate assessment of what it will actually look like from the point of view of perspective. Parenthetically, I'd like to say right now that rather than bridging Newtonville north and south of the pike, which was in the conversation early on, I feel, and some others do too, that this project actually encourages even more of a separation than the Mass Pike does. Those of us who are living on the north side of this project, I just feel it'll be in effect like a wall. And also will provide a feeling, no matter how wide you make Walnut Street, there will be a feeling of an alleyway down Walnut Street. I'm very sensitive to that because I walk in and out all the time. Several months ago, there was a petition against this project signed by over 3,000 Newton residents. I respectfully submit that the developer can realize affordable housing and many other goals within the current zoning specifications. So I ask that you deny the request for a zoning change. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. I'm going to start off with anyone else. Oh, yes, ma'am.
Right. There's one other person who was supposed to be part of Foster Street Abutter group that...
I'm going to take her and anyone else who wants to speak. Hold on just a second, ma'am. So I'd like to take... Who else wants to speak this evening? Sure. All right. We're going to start off with people who haven't spoken before, okay? If you haven't spoken before, I'm going to start you off there. Before you start, I'm going to just once again urge you, and I mean urge you to do two things. Please keep your remarks to 3 minutes or less. I know there's a lot of pent-up feeling. People want to be heard. I get that. But it's already 8:15. We are going to hear comment for a considerable amount of period time tonight. And you, frankly, you want and need us to deliberate on this project. And second, please do your best not to repeat things that have been said by others. You can say ditto or I agree. If you have something new to add, that's particularly helpful. If you put yourselves in our shoes, I guess, if you're hearing the same thing said over and over 4, 5, 6, 7 times, you want to be persuasive. And so I'm not going to tell anyone they can't, but I'm trying to respectfully suggest ways that you can all be the most persuasive you can be, because your public comment is extremely important to us, and I don't want to underestimate that. So I apologize for the speech. Good evening, ma'am.
Good evening, and I will be brief. I want to share with you a few comments in more ways than one. I'm a minority here, and how I feel about the project. But also, I was raised here. I live at 309 Langley Road and in Newton, and I am very much involved with a lot of community development projects, not from a developer side of things, more in a larger sense of the word. And I have, as my profession, worked with communities and neighborhoods to try to be the advocate on behalf of those who are the residents, and where these kinds of projects are coming. in. And I have worked in several large organizations in Boston where we focused on making sure that neighborhoods were preserved from a historical perspective for the reasons that we want to have health and wellness maintained for the residents, and also to make sure that economically that it was something that was tasteful and also a benefit to both the residents, the city as a whole, and of course taxpayers and voters. So I, as not only a resident of Newton, but also familiar with a lot of other folks who can't afford to be living in Newton and would like to, I've always thought of Newton as I grew up as a city that embraced diversity, that really looked for opportunities to make sure that folks would be welcomed, and also because I think it's a benefit to the families who are already here, not just for those coming in to more middle-income types of residences. And so I ask that you consider strongly what this would do to benefit the entire city. The politics of it all, I understand, but I do really appreciate the fact that we need to do something to diversify our city.
Thank you. Next, please. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for having me. My name is Evan Woods, and I live in 93 Bonus Street in Newton Highlands. I've grown up here in Newton. I graduated from Newton South High School 2 years ago. This past June, I graduated from Vermont Technical College with an associate's degree in veterinary technology, also called Vet Tech. This degree is similar in human medicine to what nurses do, only my patients are your cats and your dogs. I used to work at UCLA Brookline Animal Hospital on Brookline Ave, which is right off of the Green Line, the Brookline Village T-stop, as I do not have a driver's license currently. I love living in Newton. I've been here my whole life, but as I've joined the workforce and have learned about saving money and that sort of thing, it's near impossible for me to stay here without some affordable housing. A vet tech can only make between $13 to $15 an hour roughly, which isn't enough to afford an apartment in Newton. I've done the math. Many of my friends that graduated with me, their families have decided that the cost of living in Newton isn't worth staying here now that their kids have gone off to college and have now moved out of state and some out of the country. Recent college grads like myself face many problems when we graduate, not just student loans, but also finding an affordable rental unit. This project would help give us a chance to stay in the town we grew up in without having to break the bank. It also allows us to stay in a familiar area, taking off some of the stress of moving. As I'm sure everybody here can agree, it is very stressful. We don't have to go wandering around looking for where's the closest supermarket, where's a good place to sit and have a cup of coffee, as we've all grown up in the area. I would love to stay in Newton, and this project would give me a chance to stay in the town that I love, lived in and loved at my entire life. Thank you for letting me speak here today.
Thank you, ma'am. Next, please.
I'll start off by saying my comments are 4 minutes, and I tried really hard to keep it under three.
I'll try to we'll indulge you, because I think we've indulged nearly everyone else this evening. and I'm looking at, I keep track of the time, so I'm not reading all my emails all the time, but I am trying to keep our meeting flowing. Good evening.
My name is Megan Smith. I live at 34 Foster Street. My property backs up to this proposed development. Thank you for the opportunity to speak this evening. I'm speaking on the behalf of 8 abutters and close neighbors to the Ore Block. We support mixed-use development on this site, including the creation of new housing, especially units that are affordable to individuals and families. However, we continue to oppose each of the proposed plans for the site to date, as the developer continues to be unwilling to reduce the density, scale, and height of the project in any meaningful way. We also oppose the developer's requests for rezoning and special permits that would allow for such a tall and dense project. 5 stories and 171 and 164 units, and believe that it is out of proportion to Newtonville as a village. The developer could create a thoughtful and much more fully embraced project with an existing zoning that could still include a significant percentage of affordable units. We are especially proud of the fact that Newtonville has provided affordable housing over the years and want to see it continue to do so. As we have looked at the criteria for mixed-use districts and development under city ordinances, we continue to believe that neither the developer nor the planning department has given enough consideration to the purpose of mixed-use development, which includes encouraging comprehensive design within site and with its surroundings, and which protects neighborhoods from impacts of development. We have heard justification for the proposed height of the development being based on the width of Washington Street, and we have seen numerous depictions of the development plans from Washington and Walnut Streets both during day and night. Frankly, until more recently, more attention has been given to what the development would look like from the south, east, and west, and whether it fits in with Washington as a street than to its impact on those of us who live in what is a city council-designated historic district. We will have to live with, day in and day out, what they're going to build here. More specifically, as abutters and other close neighbors, we have respectfully asked that the developer prepare renderings that look at the proposed project from the northern Foster Street perspective and not just from our backyards with proposed plantings that may or may not survive. How will it look at night when 5 and 4 stories and parking lots are lit behind our homes? How will it look from our second and third floors? We have yet to see this, but have serious concerns given the massiveness and height of the proposed project. While we appreciate the new rendering for what the back of the development would look like from the parking lot, we believe the project is still too close to our homes, being only 45 feet on the Walnut Street side. We also have heard how the proposed development will knit Newtonville together. While this may sound good, we wonder what this really means. Many of us who have lived in Newtonville for years walk around the village and cross the Walnut Street or Lowell Avenue bridges all the time. Building an oversized project will not change the division of Newtonville by the Mass Pike. In fact, there is an unfair irony that the presence of the highway, something we have had to live with over the years, is now being used as a justification for the site being especially appropriate for a 5-story development, something we do not support. In terms of Newtonville as a whole, we know that the village already has one MU4 development on Austin Street that has yet to even break ground. As we have said above, there will be more development in Newton, but especially in village centers and bordering residential neighborhoods. It needs to be compatible with the surrounding community, appropriate in size and spread throughout the city. Just because a particular developer has chosen a particular site does not mean that what the developer wants should rule the day. With the city being in a continual reactive mode. There are also serious concerns about traffic. The traffic studies are not plausible for anyone who lives or drives through the area on a regular basis. This is particularly questionable since the impact of the Austin Street and Court Street projects are still unknown. It is premature to approve this development, which is more than twice the size of the Austin Street project, prior to assessing the effect on traffic and other impacts on Newtonville. Finally, many Newtonville residents also remain concerned that a development of this scale will set a precedent, not only for the Washington Street corridor, but also other parts of Newton. At the most recent Planning Development Board meeting, the city planner present was asked if any impact study had included the possibility of other MU4 developments in Newtonville, and the answer was no. This is an important question to consider. In conclusion, we do not see any compelling reason to grant a change in zoning for the Ore Block site and urge you to keep the development within the current zoning. We also want to thank our own city councilors for the time they have taken to hear and discuss our perspectives and concerns.
Thank you very much. You know, folks, there's no need for you at all to stand and wait in line. Grab a seat if you want. I mean, you're welcome to stand, but come on up, sir. I'll make sure we get to hear you. I don't want to see people queued up for 15, 20 minutes. Good evening, sir.
Hi, I'm Mark Nichols. I live at 37 Manchester Road in Newton Islands. I'll keep mine very brief. I want to touch on a few things that maybe hasn't really been addressed too much here. There's a lot of talk about the affordable housing. I'm very pro for that. I, for one, actually do fix up homes in the Newton area, and it is virtually, I'll just say, it's impossible to build or renovate a house in Newton for anybody who is in the middle income bracket. It's impossible unless you do a big project like this. What I would like the city and you guys to think of, and as I think of Newton, it's an aspirational place to live. It's great to encourage new people to come in. It's great to keep people here. My biggest concern for a development of this size would be the division it could make between the village and this new area, the community aspect of it. So what I would like to see is a virtual or a physical kind of handshake between a development of this size in the village to make sure that we can embrace people from wanting to walk across one of the worst bridges there is to get across Washington Street. It'd be really great if this development developer who can somehow or another make it so people want to cross over back and forth to go from the village to go to this community and back and forth, and think of it that way as a real aspirational place to want to go and enjoy, especially the outdoor aspect to it. That's all I have to
Thank say. You, sir. Next, please, come on up. Good evening.
Hi there. My name is Kathleen Hobson, 128 Dorset Road, but I wonder if it would be okay if I allowed the Reverend Howard Haywood to speak now?
Of course.
Then,
come on up,
and
Reverend.
And I'll speak after him.
That's fine. Come on up, Reverend. Good evening.
Thank you. My name is Howard Haywood. I'm a resident of 69 Walker Street in Newtonville, just about two blocks from the proposed site. You know, I've thought about this project for a long time. It reminds me, if you look at Newtonville back maybe 80 years or 90 years ago, this reminds me of how Newtonville looked back then, with a lot of four-story buildings that were on the street, right on Washington Street and Walnut Street. It encouraged a lot of commercial business and residents, and that's what this project does. It just renews what's already there. It's not changing the character of the community. It's providing commercial and residential space, which is there now. It does it in a more attractive way. It does it in a respectful way, and I have no doubt that the developers and the architects will work cooperatively with the abutters and the people that are impacted by the construction. So I think this is a great opportunity to improve our village centers in a way that prepares us for the future, that's sustainable for all the changes that are coming along. I wish that a lot more of the units could be a lot more affordable, and everybody realizes and that's a goal. But we live in a society or a state right now where economically that's just not possible. And if it was possible to successfully renovate those buildings and maintain the historic value, that also would be considered, but the cost is not cost effective. So what do you do with these old buildings? Do you leave them there and let them deteriorate even more? Or do you rebuild them and make that rebuilding something that the city can be proud of, that the neighbors would be acceptable to, and that and encourage more creative development in the rest of our city's villages. So I support this project heartily, and I hope that you will vote in favor of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Come on up, please, Ms. Hopkins. Good evening.
Hi there. As I said, I live at 128 Dorset Road. My name is Kathleen Hobson. I support both the rezoning and the special permit for Washington Place. As other people have explained in fine detail, the project meets all the criteria for both. It is the right project and the right zoning for this site in the heart of Newtonville Center on the north side of the pipe. Regarding the merits of the project, I have nothing to say that hasn't already been said from every angle: housing, retail, communal space, pedestrian infrastructure, vehicle infrastructure, contextual suitability, overall size, you name it. Washington Place had a good beginning and has only gotten better. It's probably as close to optimal as it's going to get. The developers have been open, flexible, and principled in the way they've negotiated changes to the project. They've been more than fair to the tenants who are being displaced. The existing local businesses seem to love the project. They understand that greater residential density in this location for them
will mainly mean more foot traffic and a better chance of long-term survival. Like many others, I've sat through every land use hearing on this project. Like Austin Street, it has become a vehicle for basic existential questions. What is Newton? Who are we, really, as a community? Who do we want to be? I think the answer to these questions is not abstract. It is equal to the answer to this two-sided question. Who gets to live here and who does not? People of all ages, backgrounds, and occupations are struggling to keep or find a home here. What does this mean for the well-being of our community? We are not well. The status quo is untenable. But there is a remedy for a case like ours, which is more of a syndrome with symptoms resulting from multiple causes, changing demographics, rising land prices, an outdated and suffocating zoning ordinance. For a case like ours, part of the cure has to be compact, mixed-use, transit-oriented, bike and pedestrian-friendly development that includes plenty of housing, like Washington Place. Newton has qualities that make it special and different, but it is also a city like any other, subject to the law of supply and demand. It will likely respond well to treatment that has worked in other places. Not building more multifamily housing is not working for us. It's making us sicker. In conclusion, and to quote Allison Leary on the night of the Austin Street vote, I hope the City Council votes for inclusion, for diversity, for opportunity, and for prioritizing people over parking, bicycling and walking over cars, and a better future for the planet. We need Washington Place. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please.
My name is Lorraine Stanek. I live at 411 Newtonville Avenue. I am here primarily to be another voice in opposition to allowing this passage of the zoning variance that's being requested. I know owners of businesses that are currently in the OR building, and they have not been granted these interviews and offers of how this is going to improve their business. They're basically being pushed out and are not going to be able to afford to be there. We moved here 35 years ago to move into the Garden City, not to move into an area that is completely surrounded by more and more of these oversized buildings. One of the issues that I can speak to personally is the issue about traffic and parking and the hazards that that brings. We on Newtonville Avenue have also always been seen as a shortcut, and the more traffic that you bring in, the more traffic that's going to bring onto Newtonville Avenue. There's already not enough parking even for the people who live there to have guests because of the businesses that are now taking spaces. Just last night, we had a police officer knock on our door to ask if we knew the cars parked across the street, which we did not, and said there had been complaints because they're blocking people's entryway to their own driveways. And I told her that my experience was that they came from one of the businesses down the street that parks there from about 6:30 until 8:30 at night, and really does interfere with people who live there. I think that these are issues that really impact on the value that we place on the type of life that we would like to live in Newton. And I think that many speakers before me who have been incredibly eloquent have spoken to the fact that this development is not going to bring in affordable housing, either for people who want to move to Newton or people who want to stay into Newton. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Next, please, come on up. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Ann Barker, and I lived in Newton for about 50 years. In fact, I moved here the night Monty Bass Bass was first elected mayor. Anyway, I am opposed to rezoning, and I'm opposed to this development. Tonight's the first time I saw the rendering that the architect did. when I looked at it, I looked at all those windows and I thought, oh my God, that's a car. Every one of those windows is another car driving on our streets in Newton. I live in Newton Highlands, by the way. It's 191 Allerton Road. And I'm here because that traffic is going to affect me directly on Allerton Road, which is a tertiary street. But in the years that we've lived there, it's become a major bypass for the light at Walnut and Center Street. And rush hour starts at 2:15 in the afternoon, and it starts about 7:15 in the morning. And our street is just one line of cars after another. And they have to stop and wait because if somebody's coming in this other direction, they don't fit. And they have to go fast, because if you don't go fast on Allerton Road, you're not going to make up the time that you would have lost waiting for the light to change. So, please, I think it's time for the counselors here to realize, if you don't already, that the more development you put in the city, the worse the traffic gets. And that place down in Newtonville is going to affect me up in Newton Highlands. And it's going to affect all my neighbors, and we're not going to be happy with it. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Next, please. Sir, come on up.
Take as much time as you need.
Good evening.
Good evening, counselors and ladies and gentlemen. My name is Rick Hine. I'm a resident of 29 Marlborough Street and have been for 41 years. And I speak in favor of this project. I believe that the proposed use of overlay zoning seems appropriate for locations such as the Ward Block, where allowing increased density development for housing and public use can serve the public interest. The availability of public transit makes it particularly beneficial with reducing traffic at peak times. The Washington Park and Austin Street projects will help knit these areas by expanding compatible uses and by creating a solid commercial core within walking distances of each side of the pike. The tired and out-of-date buildings on Washington Street and the Old Block will be replaced by more substantial construction with significant new housing and related mixed use to current code that will better serve the community than at present. The area north of the pike will now have expanded access to services and activities of the whole community. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next, please. Good evening.
Hi, good evening. I'm Megan Rizzuto. I live at 26 Greylock Road in West Newton Hill. My husband and I just moved to Newton within the past year, and we came previously by way of New York and Minneapolis. And when we were living in Massachusetts, we had quite a few choices about where to live, and we ended up being blessed to live in Newton. We were lucky enough to find a house in our price range, and we love it here for the following reasons. It's a wonderful community. It has this sense of an urban environment where you can walk to places, yet you're in a suburb. And for us, we go down the hill to Newtonville at least 4 or 5 times a week. We go to Rock's Diner. I walk across Washington Street to get my tailoring from Edward the French Tailor. But candidly, there's really not much that way for us. And for what it's worth, the community that would bring to a young family like ours is incremental. And it just makes it so appealing to be able to enjoy the outdoors, to be able to take a walk down and have a lovely restaurant where I don't have to get in the car. And I also love the fact that it's bringing in a more diverse group economically in terms of offering low-income housing, because that is our community, and that's what I, as a young mom, would like to see for my son. Thank you.
Thank you. Come on up, please. Good evening.
Hello, I'm Judy Kistler. I live at 50 Lakewood Road in Newton Highlands, and this is the very first time I've come to a council meeting. I've been living in Newton 24 years, raised 3 kids here. I'm also a social worker, and I look at that building and I say, wow, that is a community that has the opportunity to be a thriving community, an opportunity for people to know their neighbors aren't exactly like one another, and an opportunity to in fact go into town if they wanted to. I also just want to say one thing about my reaction to when people speak about that this is out of scale. I also grew up in New York City. Our houses are out of scale. We take massive amounts of property and we put two or three people living in them. I think it's time to think about the opportunity that this could afford to everyone and to people who might be able to finally come and live in a lovely town like this. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Good evening.
Good evening, Mark. Good evening, counselors. You may know me. I'm Andrea Downs. I live at 854 Chestnut Street in Waubun. I support the revised proposal for the ore block and rezoning to MU4. We need more housing in Newton for downsizing families like mine, as well as for my children's generation as they move out of student housing. These units will help fill that need. At your last hearing, John Pelletier eloquently addressed the transportation aspects of this development and why it would qualify as a transit-oriented development. He is and was correct, and I have also read much of the research on which he based his arguments. I won't repeat them here. In Newton, we have a lot of cut-through vehicle traffic. We're on the way to a lot of places. And so I want to address that in the context of this development. The current plan is to widen Walnut Street to add capacity southbound. This will make crossing Walnut harder, less safe, and will increase the time that the light will have to be red for north-south traffic so that pedestrians can cross safely. It will also make this area less attractive for shopping, because who wants to walk along wide open spaces full of moving traffic? What village has such wide streets? I'll name you a few. Newtonville at Washington Street. Newton Center at Center Street, where until Newton shortened crossings at Pelham and Pleasant, we regularly had pedestrians hit in the crosswalk. Newton Corner, the famed circle of death. West Newton, where Newton is currently looking to decrease the pavement the pedestrians must cross to get across Washington Street. Who does the widening most benefit? Not Newtonville residents. They're probably going to get there on foot. It will be people cutting through Newton in a car. What do we want in Newton? Do we want to facilitate driving through the city on local streets, or do we want to enhance our local connections? If the latter, we will want to keep Walnut narrow. It will keep drivers at the speed limit. It will mean that those drivers who want to speed, particularly outside of rush hour, will choose 128. That is appropriate. To make it easier for Newtonville residents to get to Washington Place, we will want to make walking more attractive, and the shortened crossing distances would do that, but not on a wider Walnut Street. To encourage people who live a little further from Newtonville, bike lanes. Research in a number of cities has shown that more people will choose to cycle to this block if bike lanes are painted. But if those lanes are also protected, that number increases exponentially. This is held true in Minnesota, where they also have snow, as well as in Los Angeles, in rainy Portland, as well as in Sarasota. Again, as far as transportation goes, this development with reduced parking, with parking unlinked from rents, car share, stores and housing on one site, with wide sidewalks and short crossings, with bike parking and bike lanes, and with current transportation options and transit options and subsidized key passes should not noticeably increase traffic in Newtonville, except, of course, if you widen Walnut Street. It is a good project, otherwise. Please support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please. Good evening. I see three people in the back. Is there anyone else then who wishes to speak this evening? Four or five. Go ahead, ma'am.
Hi, good evening. I will just speak a short minute. So anyway, my name is Anisa Joaquin Mamba. I live in 23 Mercy Court. And when I heard this Washington Place to be built, I'm so excited and looking forward to it. Because like our salary is just paycheck to paycheck, and living here in Newton is so expensive. So I hope that this Washington Place will be materialized And also my daughter, was born here and lived here, and we considered ourselves Newtonites. Thank you so much.
Thank you, ma'am. Come on up, please. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Marcia Weiss. I live at Hyde Avenue, right close to Newtonville, and I've lived there for 37 years. I've been to a lot of these meetings, and I'm going to try not to be repetitive in terms of what's been said. Even though I have been, I'm very unclear about the cost of the affordable housing. I know that there's something that's supposed to be, I guess, low income and middle income, and I would like the figure of what those units would cost. Can anyone give me that?
You're speaking in the microphone.
I'm sorry. I'd like to know how much the low cost income unit costs and the middle income. A dollar amount.
We'll certainly note those questions. Go ahead, please. We're not going to engage in a back and forth with the developer. If you want to make your comments, we'll certainly note them, and we'll ask the developer to try to respond in an appropriate time.
Oh, okay. All right. Thank you.
Ma'am.
Well, then that is a question of mine, without having a dollar amount, about what does affordable really mean, and what percentage of that of the 171 units really, who it will serve in terms of how affordable it is. Okay. I feel that whatever advantages this new building brings can be met without changing the zoning. So I think that that's really important. That's one point. And then in terms of a precedent, I mean, everyone knows in the legal system how a precedent is a very big deal. So things can follow suit. And in terms of the so-called Washington Corridor, that kind of horrifies me. This could be the beginning of that. So Washington Street could be very, very different, more and more buildings like this. So I would like the council to consider what that precedent, how it will affect things. A lot of people have mentioned being able to walk across, and I think that's a very important thing for students and older people, I mean adults. So I would like to see some of the money that would go towards a fourth and fifth floor instead go towards a walkway that crosses over. And, you know, they have them in various places. So I think that would be great. And it would be something that the developers could do for the community. So I think that's it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next, please. Good evening, former Alderman Johnson.
Good evening. I'm Marcia Johnson. I'm from 39 Dean Street in Newtonville, where I've lived with my family for 33 years. I am very aware of the decision-making process in which the City Council must engage. Therefore, I want to commend the Land Use Committee for the thoughtful way in which you have undertaken your review of this project and the evaluation of the zoning change. I've particularly appreciated how much time you have allotted for community comment. Tonight it's been told community. I've also been pleased by the response of the developer, Robert Korff and his team at Mark Development, as they have made changes to projects in response to the city and community concerns, and yet have maintained the integrity of their vision. Over the last several months, a clear message has been about change and how people think and feel about it, whether it is preserving the historical essence or the residential nature of the village. Everyone has a different perspective as to whether the recommended change is good or bad. Though we cannot all agree about this, I am confident that we can agree that change equals something different. Every day, change is all around us, whether it be at home, at work, at a local, state, or even national level. But we grow and adapt. Let's look at a couple of examples of local changes. We admire and cherish the village centers of the past, and that is something that is important. Yet, we don't pine away for the Model T Fords. Automobiles and technology have changed to make our vehicles more comfortable and safer. The trolley that ran down the middle of Walnut Street has been replaced with a commuter rail and the Mass Pike. My house was built in the late 1920s, and at the time was the only house on the street. It has now been joined by a tightly packed street of lovely homes and neighbors. Newtonville has lost many of its local retailers. The House of Party Favors was one of my favorites. Newtonville Bookstore. There was a jeweler. Newtonville Pet. But restaurants,
service establishments, whether it's hair, nails, spas, have arrived. As I was giving these examples, some of you were thinking, oh, these are good changes. Some were thinking, they're not good changes. However, once again, we can all agree that the changes make things different, and we face differences every day. So I ask this honorable city council to consider making a bold and courageous difference in our commercial village center that allows the community to maximize a site that has proximity to transit, create a lively ground-level experience, encourage a mix of retail that meets local needs, create the needed diverse housing in a central location with walkable services and amenities. I hope that this committee and ultimately City Council will take a long-term view of what makes a village that makes a difference in our community and reflects the needs of the 21st century, and approves both the zoning change to MU4 and this project. Thanks for your time and consideration. And happy holidays.
Thank you. Next, please, come on up. We're going to go, I hope we try to finish our public comment by 9. I just got to actually let us have an opportunity to do some deliberation on the project. It's very important to hear the comment, but we really need to get to some work here as well. Good evening, ma'am.
Margaret Howard, 24 Madison Avenue in Newtonville. I've signed petitions, sent letters, and now I'm adding my voice to the chorus of those who are protesting the size of this development. Surely the developer could make his statement with a 3- or 4-story structure. A zoning variance that would allow even more expensive apartments with only a feeble number of affordable units is not worth the drastic effect it would have on Newtonville. I get the feeling that Mr. Korff has never actually spent time in Newtonville experiencing it on a daily basis as residents do. For us, it is a part of the fabric of our lives, not merely a ripe target for a grandiose building scheme and a way to make some big bucks. We will have to live with the result of an out-of-scale, vastly oversized structure while the developer can retreat to his neighborhood, which will most likely never see a construction of a high-density, multi-use project such as he wishes to inflict on our village. I say no to a zoning variance. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Next, please. Come on up. Good evening.
Hi. My name's Ann Duvall. I live at 33 Madison Avenue. I just want to say that I'm opposed to this development as it is currently proposed. We need to keep in mind that this is a meeting about whether we're going to decide on granting a special permit. It's not about affordable housing, transit development, all these other things that people are talking about, which are all good things to keep in mind. I do not believe that a 5- or 4-story development is appropriate for this location. It is currently zoned at the appropriate zoning, and the zoning marks Newtonville and its associates should adhere to. Just because this company wants to make the maximum amount of profit does not mean we have to say yes to this special permit. They need to understand that we are a neighborhood of residents and small business owners who expect our neighborhood to maintain a village atmosphere. That is why many of us bought homes, started businesses, and became tenants in Newtonville. They should not be allowed to make a profit by using our zoning codes for their maximum benefit. Zoning codes are in place to protect homeowners and business owners, like myself and my people who live on my street. It's not the other way around. I expect the city council to protect my interests over the developer's interests. Many homeowners on my street also oppose this special permit, and I have spoken to many of them. I know there will be a development built here. I am wondering why the city council is not looking for a way to have the city benefit more from this development. The city needs a larger commercial tax base. We have liabilities to cover. Why aren't we asking them to provide more commercial development? This would help our tax base. We should allow them or ask them to ask the small business owners who are getting pushed out to come back to this location on some kind of scaled-down version of what they can afford. Mark Newtonville could allow for this along with their plans for high-end establishments if more commercial space was added to what is being proposed. I'm sure many Newton residents would consider this a win-win. I'm concerned about that there's too much development in this area. We have Court Street finishing up, possibly Austin Street, and the city planners are not looking at this area as in a comprehensive way. Remember, this was declared a historic site, and it abuts an historic neighborhood. We need to keep this in mind. I ask you not to grant this special permit.
Thank you. Come on up, please, sir. Good evening.
Bob Cavanaugh, Court Street. I will be short. These are my notes. There are a series of
numbers. Short is appreciated.
Yeah, I thought you would. 36, 68, 171, 275. What are those? 36 is what's being built on Court Street. 68 is what has been approved for Austin Street. And 171 is what is being proposed. Add those up, it comes to 275. When I leave my front door and my wife and I walk to Star Market, we are being told that there's going to be residents for 275 apartment buildings, 275 apartments. That's a heck of a lot to impose in one area. Literally, from my front door to the Star Market, 275 units. No other section of Newton is being asked to bear this. I don't care whether it's Dorset Street or wherever. We're getting the burden. And I think the city has to think about that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Anybody else? Come on up, Mr. Bruce.
Peter Bruce, Claflin Place. I'd like to echo some of Fred Arnstein's comments about the process aspect of this project. I think that the process has not been good. Good policies require that people have clear expectations. We were at a planning board meeting last week, and it was revealed that requests had been made, and there had been an initial attempt to sort of assess the overall way that the Washington Street corridor would be developed and what the population and other impacts of that would be, and that was discontinued. It seems that we need that kind of projection, those kinds of scenarios, so that people that are running for office, people that are residents, so that they know what kinds of alternatives are available and what they can choose from, what kinds of visions we might choose from, in addition to the projects themselves. I guess I'm saying that we need more holistic planning and clear expectations. Also, I think that our officials need clear expectations about what the public wants. There was no survey done for this project the way that there had been for the Austin Street project. That's a big lack, and without that, we don't really know what we think, and I think we should. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Good evening.
Good evening. Thank you for keeping this public hearing open. I'm Kathleen Crowe Grazer, 258 Mill Street. I live in Newtonville. Please deny a zoning change, and please deny a special permit to the petitioner. The project, as proposed, would benefit only the petitioner and his associates and would impose tremendous burdens on our community. I'd just like to state again that we know the petitioner overpaid for the properties, and that's a risk that he took. We're under no obligation to ensure he makes a profit. We're also under no obligation to adhere to the lame-duck strategy of high-density apartment buildings of the current administration. A year from now, we'll have a new mayor, and we may not need to build 900 or however many new units. The residents of Newton really oppose these high-density builds. Every single one that's proposed, every single one, is met with massive opposition. And you'll find that most of the people coming to seek and support don't live where these projects are being proposed. As I mentioned the last time, the fiscal and economic impacts of the proposed projects are profoundly negative to the city because the proposal, if allowed, allows the petitioner to externalize to the city and the taxpayers his costs associated with traffic, schools, et cetera, et cetera. And the reason this matters is because Newton's unfunded liabilities problem is still in the $1 billion range, and it's a tremendous albatross, a burden that leads to higher property taxes and fees. And I believe that you, as our elected leaders, we trust you to adhere to your fiduciary responsibility to preserve our city's fiscal health, and clearly to vote for this proposal would be to abandon that responsibility. I was recently told by an expert in the field that companies like TripAdvisor and Clark's left Newton because they wanted big marquee buildings along a major highway where their buildings would wear a gigantic brand logo and act as a marketing tool and office headquarters at one time. Surely another company would love to have their branded headquarters right along the Mass Pike in Newtonville, right? And yet we're told that the existing commercial tax base that the Orblock and associated buildings represent can't be replaced with more commercial space and a greater commercial tax base, but only high-density housing units are net loss to the city's coffers. I'm very skeptical of the petitioner's claim, and I think that you should be too. I'd also like to just mention the idea of density in the context of affordable housing. When you override existing zoning to allow for greater density, you give an undeserved windfall to the petitioner, and you harm surrounding property owners who believe that our zoning ordinance actually means something. You set in motion a process that will transform all of our villages and neighborhoods. As soon as you make Mr. Corp's property more valuable by unlocking the developable potential of that land, the price of surrounding properties goes up because of the precedent and makes the expectation that whatever Mr. Corp did, any other owner can do, and you'll have to give them the same zoning change and special permit. So even property owners who like things the way that they are incentivized to sell, and they're incentivized to sell out to high-density developers. The character of the area is being transformed. And what this has to do with affordable housing is the fact that we're losing naturally affordable housing, and by removing constraints on development of all properties, we're driving up the value, the underlying value of that land, and so increasing housing prices. The American Dream was a truly radical idea about empowering a middle class and those who aspire to the middle class by encouraging them to own houses and land, to be politically engaged property owners and stakeholders in our democracy. High-density, so-called luxury rental units are a very poor substitute for the aspirations of America's middle class. Locking people into means-tested, subsidized housing drives down wages and disincentivizes people from seeking to climb the socioeconomic ladder for fear of losing their subsidized workforce unit. Concentrating wealth and land ownership in the hands of the rentier class, the property speculators, the millionaire landlords, this is just about the most regressive policy that one could imagine. Projects like the one proposed widen the gulf between the rich and poor, reduce the middle class to the status of landless renters, the fate their parents and grandparents worked so hard to escape. We have no desire to be worker drones imprisoned in a hive of workforce housing units. This is no way to create affordable housing, by destroying naturally affordable homes, raising rents, and eviscerating the middle class. This is dishonestly applying the label affordable housing to pure profiteering property speculation that hurts real people, your constituents. Real affordable housing is 100% affordable in perpetuity and in scale with the neighborhood. It doesn't displace people. It's the Habitat for Humanity model. It's the can-do model. It's not this. Please don't be fooled into thinking that you're helping the poor by making this petitioner rich. Please reject this proposal. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Anybody else, Ms. Cross? Anyone else that would want to be heard this evening? Okay, there's the last. All right, one more after that. And anyone else? Those are the last two comments we're going to take this evening. Good evening, Ms. Cross.
Good evening. My name is Tom Krause. I live at 40 Walnut Street. I am speaking tonight as president of the Newtonville Area Council. I submitted a document that was drafted by the Newtonville Area Council to the councilors, the petitioner, and the planning department regarding our request that the planning department create a pattern, essentially, a pattern book for the development within Newtonville. We have spoken before about the opportunity that this project has for sort of catalyzing, drawing the village together. The reason I'm speaking tonight is that we'd really appreciate it if something relative to this planning could be included within the board order. We understand that it's a little cart before the horse because there's no way that the design book and it would be ready at the time, but perhaps the finding that is that the petitioner would be cooperating with the planning department in creating such. We feel that it's important to get that into a board order to set a precedent for other development within Newtonville, that it would essentially create a pattern to provide a tool so that as the rest of the area gets developed, it gets a cohesive feel. So thank you.
Thank you. Sir, come on up, and you're it for public commentary. Public hearing is still open. You can submit your comments in writing, but we're going to try to do some other things as well.
My name is Wayne Cox. I live on Greylock Road in Newtonville. I just wanted to add one small fact, and I would ask the traffic engineer to substantiate it. I've heard a lot tonight about traffic and the housing and versus commercial development, and I think, if my memory serves me well, that the Master Building Code says that a business use, an office use, you plan for, from a code point of view, is one worker per 100 square feet. So if this project had, let's say, instead of 170 units, had 200,000 square feet of office space, that would be 200 workers traveling to and from the building a day. And I don't think that from a traffic point of view, there would be any advantage to having this being an office building over an apartment building. But I could stand corrected. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. All right. Attorney Bookbinder, do you have a presentation you want to give this evening? And it's already 9 o'clock, and I see our Commissioner of Public Works here, and it's very important that we hear from him as well. So perhaps your presentation could be a little more abbreviated than you'd initially thought.
I think we can be very, very close with this, Mr. Chairman. For the record, my name is Stephen Bookbinder. I'm an attorney with the law firm of Schlesinger and Bookbinder, with offices at 1200 Walnut Street in Newton Highlands. I wanted to touch on a few matters briefly, and then ask Damian Chaviano to touch on a few more. First, I indicated on November 29th that I would report back this evening in terms of our negotiations with the owner of the property where the post office resides. I'm happy to tell you that we've reached an agreement in principle respecting Washington Terrace. We actually have executed documents that are being held in escrow, and we're merely awaiting tweaking a few of the exhibits. I understand that Marty Healy, who represents the property owner, was planning to email the chairman. I don't know if he saw it or not.
He did email me late in the day. I was engaged in other job, but I did see it.
I just wanted you to know. If there are questions about that, we're not going to make a private presentation, but Randy is here to discuss it very simply. We've agreed to make improvements to Washington Terrace. We're going to widen it. Although Randy didn't think it was necessary, we've agreed to add an additional right turn lane coming out from the site to accommodate the post office. We'll be installing in sidewalks and lighting and some landscaping. Second, I wanted to note that we've added a lighting consultant to the development team, Carrie Hawley. She's here this evening. Again, I'm not going to ask her to present. We have had a request from Foster Street neighbors for a rendering showing what the project would look like at night. We've been struggling a bit with the architectural team on how to approach that. We've brought Carrie on board. I've indicated to Bob Smith, one of the Foster Street neighbors this evening, that we're happy to set up a meeting with her, happy for Bob or others to call her. We're going to try to get at that piece. Third, we've been in ongoing negotiations with the operators of the barn to lease commercial space at the site. They're here this evening. Those negotiations are proceeding. They're not definitively concluded yet, but they will include approximately 7,500 square feet of space at ground level, in addition to 4,500 square feet of space in the basement. Fourth, we've submitted a proposal.
Will that space in the basement take away from the parking at all, or where is that going to come from?
No, we'll be adding some spaces in the basement. Plus, because we've reduced the residential unit count from 171 to 160, we've picked up some additional spaces.
Okay.
So we actually come out a little better on the parking at the end of the day. That will either be in play or won't be in play by January 12th. If it is in play, I'll be sure to submit a revised plan and a revised parking analysis. Next, we submitted a transportation demand management plan. We had some feedback from the planning department and the transportation engineer. Damian is going to touch on that briefly. Next, we submitted a revised design of the rear facade on the west building. I shared that with the Foster Street neighbors through Bob Smith. You've all received a copy, hopefully, from Ms. Kahn. And, you know, we think that's moving in the right direction. Lastly, Damian, very briefly, is going to address this issue of natural affordability, which keeps coming up, and also touch upon the BDC versus the mixed use for. Thank you.
Thank you. Is this clicker working? Oh, great. Thank you. Hi, good evening. Damian Chaviano with the petitioner. As Steve mentioned, we submitted a TDM plan to the planning department. We have received feedback on that plan. As you heard at our last hearing, what we've actually proposed as part of that program is Newton's first transportation pilot program that would set aside $300,000 to really serve as a data tool to help determine how alternative modes of transportation really do affect the driving habits of our residents. And so as you can see here, and we talked about this last time, what it's intended to do is provide subsidies up to $200 a month to folks using alternative means of transportation, and you can see there the list of five.
Can I ask you a question? Have you thought of providing that to the employees of the retail and other, and if you put in office space, have you thought of providing it to them as well?
No, but I think that's a great idea. We'd be happy to look into that.
Yes, you do. They commute as much, or perhaps if not more, than the residents. You can count the trip back and forth each day from each employee.
Yeah, I think that's a great suggestion, and we're happy to take that into consideration as we get this the feedback on the TDM. So essentially what we're trying to do here, obviously, is encourage alternative modes of transportation. We were asked by the planning department to increase that number from $300,000 to $500,000 for this pilot program. We're not prepared to do that. We think $300,000 is sufficient funds in order to really study how alternative modes of transportation impact these projects. At our last hearing, we were also asked to look at a comparable project, 89 Brighton Avenue. We met with that developer. In that instance, the developer, if you do not have a parking stall associated with your unit, you do get 1 month free parking pass and a Zipcar membership. They've estimated the value of their transportation subsidy at $30,000. And we think our $300,000 is more than adequate to study this demand. As we talked about last time, we set up a sliding scale both on who this caters to as well as the car usage. So we set this up so that the affordable housing units actually get more of a stipend than the market rate. As I said earlier, each household will have up to a $200 rent credit to go towards alternative modes of transportation. Under either scenario, if a household has zero cars, they would get the full stipend reimbursement at one car. And the reason why I've highlighted it in yellow is this was feedback from the planning department. We've increased it from 50% under the affordable and 25% under the market to 75%.
Can I pose a question to you on this? I understand the stipend on the affordable units, but on the market rates, you can set your market rate housing at any price you choose, right? So I presume when you set that pricing, you're going to factor that into whatever your rents are going
to
be.
Well, we've also agreed to decouple the parking costs. So we've separated that so people now have an option to not pay the cost of parking included in their rent.
I presume whatever you're going to charge for parking or for housing is going to factor in whatever subsidies you're providing. Isn't that right?
Is it going to factor in the
subsidy? I presume when you set your prices for the parking spaces and for market rate housing, you're going to factor in whatever subsidies you're providing.
What we're doing here is we're setting aside the $300,000 as part of the $1 million offsite mitigation package that we've offered. So this program is going to be separate and apart. We certainly have, obviously, the flexibility to adjust market rate units like anyone else. as it relates to what is and what's not market rate. So there will be that component of it, but we look at this very differently than an ongoing component that's tied into the market rate rental.
Okay.
So the last component that the planning department did ask us to provide a stipend for households that have two or more cars. We didn't think that was appropriate. Under this plan, we're trying to discourage car ownership, and we don't think people should be compensated if they have two or more cars at their household. Continuing on, one of the other changes that was asked at our last hearing was to reconsider the facade design, the color palette in particular, as it relates to our west building. This is a view from Walnut Street looking towards Washington Terrace. What we've done is we've changed the color patterns, and we've submitted this and had early conversations with some neighborhood and community members. The feedback's been very positive, and so if this is a design change that folks would like us to incorporate, we're happy to do so. Another piece that I want to address is this concept of natural affordable housing. I think, as Mr. Arnstein said, there's a lot of myths and fantasies about what is naturally affordable housing. And I think this is a big misnomer. As you can see on the left, we think there are four critical factors in determining what really is naturally or what is affordable housing. You need affordable rent. You need folks whose incomes have been verified to meet those rents. They need to be deed restricted so that a developer or a future owner can't arbitrarily change with market conditions what those rents are. And you need quality housing products. In our minds, the 20 units that currently exist at Washington Terrace meet one of those four criteria. In addition, there's been a number of suggestions that the displaced renters need to win a lottery ticket in order to be invited back to our project. What we've tried to make clear in our inclusionary housing plan, that we are able to put this into what's called a local preference program with the DHCD, where 70% of the 40 affordable units would go first and foremost without a lottery system to affordable renters. Therefore, we'll have 28 rental units that would go to displaced renters, and we have 20 residential units on our site. So if someone does want to come back, we have more than adequate housing for those folks before it enters into a lottery system. Okay, just to give you, for those of you who haven't seen the housing supply, I thought it was important to show a couple quick pictures of what the current housing looks like today.
Councilor Schwartz.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you, Damian. I just, quick question for the planning department. If you're in that if you're in that local preference program, does it still count for the SHI? Did you? Okay.
Pardon?
Yes.
The answer is yes, they do. According to Ms. Anand.
Actually, I'll use this moment too. Someone had asked, I'm sorry.
Great, thank you.
There was a question earlier about the affordable housing rents. We had submitted an inclusionary housing plan back in June on our original proposal. We recently revised that, and we'll be submitting that soon this week to account for the change in unit counts. Just quickly off the top of my head, the studio units start at $775, not the $1,200 that was mentioned earlier. One bedroom start at $814, and two bedrooms start at $950.
Those are current rates, correct?
That's in today's dollars. That's correct.
Today's dollars. And, we're not going to debate how you get into these programs or don't get into these programs this evening. That's I think, way beyond the scope of what we're doing. Go ahead, please.
Of my take, Ray. Again, more interior pictures of the existing conditions of the 20 units at Washington Street. We think that the proposed changes are a considerable upgrade to what currently exists there today. One of the questions that's been said time and time again is the notion of this rezoning. What I want to call attention to is the column highlighted in yellow, the row highlighted in yellow. The discussion of the rezone in our minds has really come down to one factor, and that is the number of units. As many of you know, the current zoning allows for up to four stories, but it includes an additional requirement that requires the site size be divided by 1,200 square feet per unit to come to an average unit size.
Let me ask you on that now. So you do that if you're assuming that you're going to take all that space and make it residential. But if you made some of that commercial, you could reduce the size of your units readily, couldn't you?
You could do that, yes. Okay. You can reduce them whether it's commercial or not.
So you're limiting, you're making the determination because you've decided as part of this project that it's going to be almost all residential. If you made it, say, half commercial and half residential, your residential units could be far smaller.
Yes, if we thought it was economically feasible to do office, you could do that. That's correct.
We just wanted, I want to get the facts on the table when we put these presentations
on. Okay. So just so people understand the implications of what that means, an average unit size at 103 units would mean 2,020 square feet versus our proposed at 1,174 square feet. So what does that mean in dollars? If you take the gross unit size that I just mentioned and assume 80% of that is affordable at a $3 rent, what that means is you need to get to a $4,848 per month rent to equate to what our current proposal is.
All right.
So what does that translate to?
Can I just stop for a second? Ms. Young, are we supposed to be considering the financials at all here? Okay, I just want to be clear on what we're allowed to consider and we're not, because we've had this, it's an important issue. We've heard lots of things economically, what you can and can't do, but we're not looking at your pro formas, we're not looking at your numbers, and we're not asking to. I just want to be very clear. You're welcome to go ahead, but I want to remind my colleagues, and Ms. Young is going to help us do so, what we can properly consider and what we can't. Go ahead.
Right, so what I think it's important to point out here is what this does is it discourages diversification of housing. It puts us in a position where we wouldn't be maximizing FAR if we went under the scenario you described with fewer units or went with the larger program that would really be geared towards more 2- and 3-bedroom units. If you take the BU2 zoning and the implications on a net fiscal benefit, assuming the unit sizes, we think the swing in the net fiscal benefit would be about $500,000 to the negative. So people have said
net
tonight...
Net fiscal benefit to the city?
That's correct.
And that's because we've done it, and have you considered the cost if you have fewer units?
No, this is based on, again, using the 103 units as
well,
of right.
I'm confused by your analysis. If you have 103 units, you're saying you'd get $500,000 a year less in taxes, correct?
I'm saying the positive benefit that we generated, what we presented earlier, was about $200,000. I'm saying it goes to about negative $300,000 if you assume all of these are 2- and 3-bedroom units. So a $500,000 swing to the city as a result of all of these larger units that potentially have more impact
on the
schools.
If you think that is a greater impact on the schools, that's the theory behind
that's
that.
Correct.
Okay, just want to understand. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. So, again, you've heard a lot about why rezoning shouldn't happen. What I want to point out, and we presented this exact same image back in October, we are allowed to build this under the current zoning. This 4-story building with a special permit allows us, as long as we change the unit count from our 160 to 103 residential units, this massing would be allowed. As you know, the big discussion around this was the implication of moving further back along Foster Street. As you can see, the two boxes, we pushed back along Washington Terrace an additional 45 feet and bumped out 76 east to west, as well as bumping out 32 feet. We heard considerable feedback that that wasn't the right direction, and therefore we pushed up to 5 stories on Washington Street and therefore require the rezone. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Berkbein, do you have anything else at this point? I apologize for cutting you short. I know you have lots to present to us. It's a complicated project. Where's the commissioner? I'm sorry. Commissioner's been patient sitting in the back. Commissioner Jim McGonigal, Department of Public Works Commissioner. Are you going to present to us this evening, Commissioner?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm here also with our Transportation Director, Nicole Friedman. Public Works is committed to maintaining and improving the vitality and safety of our city and especially our villages. We want to ensure this project and all projects are consistent with our planning and development, especially of the upcoming Walnut Street project, and other things we have going on in the surrounding area. We've received some questions, which Nicole is going to respond to, regarding some transportation issues, some pedestrian safety, and also some bike issues. Nicole?
Thank you. It's good to see so many people awake here.
This is early for land use. Good evening.
So I heard. So first thing I want to do is get this to work. Simultaneously on a similar timeline as the Washington Place project, the city of Newton is working on a Walnut Streetscape project. For those of you that have been following the West Newton Streetscape project, a lot of the goals will be very similar, and the scope of the project will be quite similar. But the Walnut Streetscape project will be about a complete streets project. It's about beautifying the neighborhood. It's about creating a real village character and a village center and really amplifying that. We would be adding lighting. We would be adding planting. We would be widening the sidewalk. We'd be making it safer for pedestrians to cross the street. And we would be looking most likely at shared bike accommodations through that village center where the cars and the bikes share a spot. But really tighten it up so you feel like this is truly a village center, which it is in many ways now. The project timeline is to be constructed by December 31st, 2018. And in fact, we are entering our first public meeting most likely on January 19th to kick off this project. Some of the questions that we were asked by the council, the first question is the Lowell and Washington signal, whether that signal will be upgraded as part of the Walnut Streetscape project, and what we think of that. And what we would like to do is actually look at that signal when we are doing the Walnut Streets Corridor project. And we can look at minimum, we know we will make sure it is ADA compliant, and we're coordinating the lights with Washington and Walnut. And that is just at a minimum.
Do you have a budget for this project yet?
We're still finalizing it, but it is millions, not...
Well, I know. I'm just trying to find out if there is a budget for it or not yet.
I can get back to you with the exact budget.
Sure. That'd be great. Councilor Schwartz?
It's just that I think I asked a question about the Lowell and Washington intersection, so I just wanted to be clear what you're telling me. Are you saying that at this point in time, you have not decided yet whether or what improvements you'll make at that intersection? It's just that you're going to delay that decision until the Carter project is in production?
When we start the design of the Washington Street, Walnut Street Corridor project, we will incorporate looking at the Lowell and Washington intersection as well. And just so you know, that's not actually putting it off that far because we are starting the concept design for Walnut in January through March. So.
And just to be clear, the range of the options of that signal, like from doing nothing to what's the other end of that?
Yeah, I would say the minimum, of course, is ADA compliance and coordinating the lights. But as we look at it, I think our goal is to address exactly what is needed and make sure that we do what is safe for all users. When we look at Walnut Street, if that streetscape project has added impacts at the Lowell and Washington intersection, we need to factor that in.
Okay, so that's mostly for the impacts from the Washington Street Corridor project, Walnut Street Corridor project, not necessarily from this Washington Place project. Or would you take that into account as well?
Oh, absolutely. I think one thing we have to realize is that DPW, the planning department, and the developers are working hand in hand, because we have to see this as one project. It has to connect Washington Place right to Walnut Street. So when this is finalized, it needs to be one seamless project.
Well, let me ask you a question there. Assume we don't approve Washington Place. I hope the city's planning on going ahead with all these improvements anyways, right?
Absolutely. We actually see our project as the lead. Right now, they're on fairly concurrent timing. But if Washington Place gets delayed, we will always do it.
And would you do all the improvements that they've talked about putting funding for, regardless of whether they pay for it?
Our project has a distinct budget when we're looking at it. So what we're looking at with the beautification happens regardless of the
Right, but what my question is, if we don't approve their project,
and they've talked about putting funding for doing certain things at the intersection there. Is the city going to do that as a priority no matter what?
We can definitely look at that, and I would defer a little bit to the commissioner.
I'm putting you on the spot. Not a fair question. But, Commissioner, I think we need an affirmative answer to that. You don't have to give it this evening, but certainly by January, I think this committee needs to know exactly what the plans are and how much of a priority you're placing on that intersection, if that's okay.
Sure. Again, the Walnut Street project, I just want to be sure, is separate from this. The bounds of the Walnut Street project did not include the intersection of Washington and Walnut. This project goes from the southern portion of the overpass down towards Cabot. But again, we have Washington Street on our CIP list moving forward. So whether this happens or not, we will be addressing this intersection.
So, Commissioner, it's probably more for public facilities, but why aren't we including the north side of Walnut Street and that Washington Street intersection as part and parcel of your work?
Again, the boundaries before this project ever came about were from that southern portion. And this goes back a few years now when the original conceptuals were developed for this project. We will be looking at Washington and Walnut regardless if this project doesn't go through. That is also on our traffic improvement list. So it will be happening, but it was never part of the Walnut Street project.
Well, I have Councilor Cody and then Councilor Albright.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So are you okay with that? Are you done? Okay. So I just have one thing I want to bring up that I've been hearing a lot from the residents. So it's a different part of what we're talking about here. But when Walnut goes down towards Lowell and they connect down by Watertown Street, it's kind of a crazy intersection right there, the way that's devised. And the feedback I'm getting from a lot of the residents is that we probably need to look at that intersection with the possible changes of the traffic patterns coming down from this new project and from other possible projects. But as it stands now, if you're coming down Lowell, say from North High, from Newton North, and then heading towards Watertown Street, you have to stop and take that turn, that little jog in there. So I don't know what can be done with that intersection. It's been worked on for years. They've made some modifications about 5 years ago. But I think it's something that needs to be looked at, because if we look at the whole traffic picture, that could be a choke point that could back up traffic up Walnut and in Lowell.
Sure, and especially
it's not part of what was here, but it's something that's been brought up a lot.
Right, but we'll look at the traffic studies, because there may be impacts from that, and we need to understand that, because that there may have to be some reconfiguration there.
Okay.
If the additional traffic did impact that intersection.
Okay. All set, Councilor Cody. Councilor Albright and Fuller.
Well, I have a question for Nicole, but Nicole, is this initial presentation?
No, never though.
So could we let Nicole finish her presentation, and then I'll be happy to ask my question.
Sure. Let me just see if I apologize. I'm the one who diverted our attention, so I'll take full responsibility. But Councilor Fuller, did you want to, while I have you, let's just see if you have a question.
Just as you speak, Nicole, I'm getting a little confused about the scope of the project that you outlined, because I can't even tell. That map looks like it's not including the bridge and
right.
The other side. And to many of us, it's really important that all of this be coordinated and thought through simultaneously. So just I'm sure you'll address it. But
and I'll answer that right now. So the Walnut Street State Project, what you are looking at for a picture is some concepts that was done in previous years within the Newtonville community. We will actually be taking a lot of those concepts as a launching pad for our new project. The limits of our work, the Walnut Street State Project, will be from the southern end of the bridge, as the commissioner said, down to Elm Street, which is the northern end of the high school. So,
you want to ask?
Any of us could. So, we're here tonight on the Washington Place project, which appears to be outside of the scope of what you're talking about. So, it's just a little confusing because we look forward to hearing about this project, but it seems too short and too small for what we're all thinking about tonight.
Perhaps I can jump in, I don't know if it's appropriate, and just explain that the parameters for the Walnut Streetscape project were set during, possibly even before, the Austin Street project, and they really focus on the south side of the turnpike. And they go up to the bridge joint, like Nicole was saying, and it is the developer of the Washington Place project who will pick up from that point and run north towards Foster Street. And that will all be coordinated under the guise of DPW. So we will be looking at the entire corridor being done very consistently, but DPW is doing the south side of the bridge themselves, and then we'll be working with the developer to do the bridge north.
Wouldn't we be far better off as a city to do the south side and the north side and let the developer give us the $1 million contribution, but let us dictate how it's done?
That's a good question for DPW.
I mean, it seems to me, Commissioner, you're the experts here. You're DPW. Why are we letting a private developer decide how we're developing north of Walnut Street? That's your job, it seems to me.
Right.
And I think you can do it very well.
No, and thank you. And I agree. That's why we want to be very involved with this process. And we are actually open to that. What we wanted to be clear here is, as we've heard from the Newtonville neighborhood, is they're concerned that this project is not going to happen. This project is happening. Washington Place is right now is what we're working on here, and that could be part of the special permit. We could be responsible for doing that.
What's your vision as DPW for that project? I appreciate the developers, and it's an interesting and a good picture, but it's city property. So what's the city's view on that?
Sure, and it is city's property. It would be beneficial to Public Works if the developer did the project, actually. With all that we have going on, with us overseeing it, of course, with all that we do have going on in the city, we could focus on other projects while this was being
done. Well, Councilor, I'll stop. I've got to let my colleagues talk. Councilor Albright.
Isn't it true that you've met several times with the developer regarding the traffic pattern of this part of Newton?
Public Works has met twice with the developer, yes.
So I think what I'd like to say is that when we do these kinds of projects, and correct me if I'm wrong, you don't do all the design work on your own. You hire out for that. You speak with the community, you find out the needs, and you hire out for the actual design work. It seems to me that that's what's happening in this case, but correct me if I'm wrong.
No, that's correct. In all of our major projects, we do utilize design.
But those are people who work for us. The developer doesn't work for us.
I understand that. We're fortunate enough to have a developer who wants to put their own money into it. But the design itself has been coordinated with the commissioner.
They're going to put money in anyways. It's a question of who's doing the work, who's supervising, and whose vision it is. Councilor Fuller?
I'm repeating Chairman Laredo. We want to be in the driver's seat. We want you guys to be in the driver's seat. We want the developer to be responding to your vision and not vice versa. I think Councilor Albright is trying to say you guys have the vision and work with the developer, but I fear it was the opposite way. The developer had the vision and you're reacting to it. So I know that's parsing words, but it really matters about who's being proactive and who's being reactive. It sounds like the developer's been very proactive and we're reacting. And you just wish we had the vision and the plan.
Well, there's still time for that. This project's not done yet.
Well, and this is an opportunity. As I said, we want Walnut Street to be steering what the developer does. We want this to be consistent, as I said, with what we do. We want to ensure that, and we will ensure that. Again, we want the community to decide what they want Walnut Street to look like, and Washington Place will follow that. We want to ensure that.
So if that's the case, shouldn't we be asking the developer to put in their $1 million, let you come up with your process with what you want it to look like? It may be the same plan they have, because their plan, you know, as I said a moment ago, is a very interesting, very sensitive plan in that regard. But it's not our plan.
And I think we're doing it in the wrong way, frankly.
Mr. Chair, can I just ask a question?
You may.
The $1 million that we're talking about for impacts and mitigation does not include the traffic and the lights and all of the redesign of the roadway. That's above the $1 million. Am I not correct about that? Well, perhaps the petitioner can tell us that.
You're exactly right. The signalization upgrades, the bike lanes that we talked mm-hmm. about, that is not part of the $1 million. The $1 million is in addition to those items.
So I don't know how much that is, but it's considerable, and it's nothing to do with the $1 million for mitigation.
No, we understand that, Councilor Albright, but they've committed a certain amount of money in their budget. They've said they're going to do certain work, and it seems to me, at least, that we ought to be in the driver's seat about what that work is going to be, not the developer. And it may be that the plans are exactly the same. I don't want to criticize the developer's plans, but it's an order of priority. Councilor Schwartz?
I'm mindful of the hour, and I was just thinking that I think I cut off our transportation director.
I've done it now four times.
I feel very badly. I feel bad. As the time goes on, I feel even worse about that. So I was just hoping that since we've gotten out our concerns about that, I think we've heard both sides of it. I think that everybody knows that we want this all to be one corridor, and obviously the DPW commissioner has stated that he's going to be very involved. Can we move on?
Most certainly, and you're going to remind me if I interrupt our transportation director inappropriately again that probably not things are polite. Go ahead, please.
Well, I thank you. I think it's important we get this out, though, so we do appreciate it also.
Fair enough. And this was one of the questions that we received from the council. The next question we received was asking us, DPW, what our preferences are with regards to the bike lane. Along Walnut Street, north of Washington Street, the current proposal is for a 5-foot bike lane, and we think that is appropriate, and we are not proposing a change to that. Along Washington Street, the current proposal is for shared lane markings. We believe that should be upgraded in front of the development to a bike lane. The road, Washington Street, narrows as you go west, and just about the end of the development, it would transition to shared lane markings. There's a lot of people that say, well, why shouldn't we just do shared lane markings the whole way, even since it has to transition? And you know what? Intersections are where crashes happen most frequently. You put in the best treatment you can with the bike lane accessible to a shared, and it's okay that it's just for the length of the development at first. And the city is, of course, working on plans to connect further along on each end. The next question that the council had was there was concern about the mid-block crossings that particularly in front of the Postal Service and particularly in front of the Crooks. What can be done to prevent these crossings and or improve the pedestrian safety? So there's three options and sort of in order potentially one would think of priority. A hawk signal is a signal that is pedestrian activated. A pedestrian comes up to it and either presses a button or there's detection, and it flashes red. It is legally binding and the cars do need to stop. So that is one option. It requires minimum pedestrian volume. So what we would do is after the development, we would be able to assess what are those pedestrian volumes. And if the location merits a hawk signal, that is definitely something that we could put in. The second option is something called a rapid flash beacon. It's similar to what was put in at Washington and Harvard. We did not have great success with that, to be quite honest. Rapid flash beacons tend to be for narrow roads, tend to be when you can have a built median in the middle. With it in this location, we really can't do the built medians in the middle. But I put it up there as an option that can be discussed. The third option is to make changes to parking that would reduce the number of people that would want to cross. So that could be, of course, eliminating parking on the south side, or, yes, I hear the laughter, it could be making it much longer-term parking so you don't have short-term parkers trying to go across. And lastly, having a great intersection that is safe at Washington Walnut will be critical to encouraging people to use the crosswalk.
Can I just ask a question about the parking alternative? Long-term parking versus short-term parking, does that make a difference for the success of the retailers there?
There's always a trade-off.
Okay.
So, but one thing you're always trying to do is if you have long-term on the south and short-term on the north, sometimes you're getting people to park in the most appropriate place.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes it actually could be better for retail.
Okay.
You would want to study that.
Okay, thank you.
The last question you all had was about project coordination. Are we coordinating with the developer? And I think you heard loud and clear the answer is absolutely yes. Even though you technically have the developer responsible for the bridge northwards, basically where our project limits end, and you have DPW owning the south end of the bridge southward to the user, and the end result, it will feel like it was one contiguous project, and that's key.
Great. Thank you. Sorry it took you so long to get to the end result.
No worries.
My fault in that. I take full responsibility. Councillor Fuller than Albright.
So I'm sorry to be repetitive, but your very first slide, I think, given everything that we've been talking about for months here in land use, if you're starting in January to get input from the residents and the businesses on a Walnut Streetscape project, and you're only looking at that area, you're missing a huge, it's not just an opportunity, you have to make that bigger. You have to go over the bridge, down Walnut Street, past Newtonville Camera, and the Washington Street, in front of Cook's, all the way down to Lowell. Yes, we've got to get this part right, but you've got to get the whole part right. And we've still got time to make sure, while this Lick City Council deliberates on Washington Place and what they're proposing, you've got to capture people's ideas and thoughts immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So I encourage you to broaden the scope. I also just mention one more thing. At Finance last night, you had a mid-block crossing on what the options were. Shane was there last night and said, there's one more option to put on there. We're looking at the kiosk for parking lots.
Mm-hmm.
He talked about putting a kiosk, eliminating parking meters,
mm-hmm.
putting the kiosk at the corner so that when people go to punch in their numbers,
right.
You go to the kiosk, which is at the corner, so that you lure people not to do a mid-block.
And that is a very effective strategy
so
as well. Thank you.
Another
absolutely.
Okay. If you're following what I'm
talking about. I do, but then don't you take that little receipt and stick it in your window?
You don't have receipts anymore.
So all right, I'm learning something new every day. That's why it's so much fun to be on the city council. Councilor Albright, an older year I would then would appreciate all this. Good evening. Go ahead, Councilor Albright.
So two questions for you. One is, you talked about the mid-block crossing,
mm-hmm.
and we won't know until we see how the traffic sorts itself out. So should we be asking for the developer to put aside X number of dollars for that, for some kind of mitigation at that point?
That's certainly an option. Absolutely.
Okay. Because at that point, your project will be over, their project will be over, there'll be no money to fund that, so
yeah.
It has to come somewhere. And there was the question raised about widening Walnut Street.
Mm-hmm.
And did you take that into consideration? The developer is widening the street and then putting some bump outs for, but it is going to be wider.
Yeah.
And so the question is it safe or isn't it safe? Should it be done?
The widening of Walnut Street?
Yes.
I want to defer to the commissioner only because a lot of the background discussion on that preceded my being here, so I want to make sure that someone that has the full context.
Yeah, and you may not have the answer to that tonight, but we really
yeah.
do need to yeah. have an answer for that one.
Absolutely.
And the only reason I raised that issue before about the conversation we were having with respect to the city driving this is that early on in the project, the Ward 2 councilors ask the petitioner to please go and meet with the DPW for exactly this reason, that we don't want the developer deciding what we want. Here we want the city deciding it. And they had several meetings along the way, and so that I feel like that the commissioner and the department has been, you know, well involved in this project.
Thank you. Commissioner, how many meetings have you had so far?
Public Works, we had 2 meetings so far with the developer.
Okay. Councilor Schwartz?
So, I think that Councilor Fuller and Councilor Laredo, the chairs, concerns about this being a, you know, kind of looking at the whole area going down Washington in both directions, Walnut, is wise, obviously, and I'm sure that's what you're going to be doing in the coming months. In that vein, it was commented, one of the public comments about bike lanes was, is Lowell more appropriate, a place to focus for bike lanes? My understanding is it's rather narrow. Could you speak to that at all?
First off, it's never an either or. They're both strong desire lines. With that said, Walnut Street already has a bike lane south of the high school all the way north beyond Beacon Street. There's also potential for shared lanes. There's also a very strong desire north on Walnut Street, north of California. And from California, that is the access to the Charles River Pass, and that's the access to Watertown. We could look at Lowell in addition, but it's certainly not instead.
Great. And just a related point was also raised tonight, and it's been obviously discussed, the benefit and the value of protected bike lanes, especially just in general, but also the fact that, you know, we're looking on Walnut at Day, High School, lots of kids. Again, if you're doing a major thinking about redesign, streetscape, and all that, is this not the time to be thinking about whether we can make some protected bike lanes on Walnut?
It is absolutely the time. And what I always say is protected bike lanes are always ideal and preferable. They require more space. So given there is parking on the street on Walnut, to go from a bike lane to a protected bike lane would increase the width of the street by another 6 feet. So then you say, is giving up 6 feet additional of sidewalk worth it? In this case, north of Page Road, so Page Road is about one block up to the north, you would be switching anyway to a third lane marking. So think of it as sort of a spectrum. There's protected bike lane, shared lane marking. Given you're not even going to a bike lane, it just didn't make sense to lose the 6 feet when you're converting all the way to a shared lane marking.
So that decision's already been made?
That was what I proposed up there when you were asked what our preference is.
Okay. I would just urge you to continue that discussion. I mean, I haven't been privy to that. Perhaps public safety, I saw something in traffic council, there was some discussion, but I do think that because of the customers in this case being largely potentially kids,
yep,
and as you pointed out, the importance of getting to across Newton to some of the other arterials, it would be very helpful to keep that in the discussion at this point in time.
Can I just follow up on the bike lane question? So when you say that you go to a shared lane model further up, is that because the road narrows and you could not take any sidewalk at that area and make it wider so you could accommodate? I'm asking. I don't know.
So, great question. I measured Walnut Street, and at Page Road it narrows. So the only way you could get a bike lane and or a potentially protected bike lane is to remove parking on one or both sides of that street. That would probably be quite some time to get approval for.
Well, but if it required removing parking, say, on one side of the street, but you could create a shared bike lane, is that like the pinch point? And is it widened further on, or is the problem the whole way down?
It shows that narrow the rest of the way to California. So you had a question about potentially widening the sidewalk.
Widening the street and narrowing the sidewalk, I guess, is what you could do if you needed more space, but that creates other dynamics.
And making a shared path, essentially. So that is actually a type of treatment we may want to consider
in the future in Newton, and it actually has a lot of potential. This is probably not the best place to experiment with it.
So it's just, if I can follow up, it's something you'd like to try, but you'd rather not try the experiment here. Is that a fair statement? That may be perfectly fine. That's a judgment call on your part.
We're quite speculative here, so if you want, I'm happy to go back and look at it in much more detail and get real measurements.
What we're struggling with a decision about whether to put a bike lane in and what kind of bike lane. And I think if I speak for Councillor Schwartz, we're trying to look at it holistically. And so the more input you can provide for us to help us make those judgments and understanding those trade-offs, I think that'd be helpful. Does that meet your concerns, Councillor Schwartz?
I think so. Yeah, and I think it's a discussion for perhaps different forum as well. So I appreciate that you've going to the extent that you have already tonight.
Happy to.
I guess my only other question, and I think I had also raised the whole crossing in the middle just because another public comment had raised that. Are we limited, you mentioned the hawks and other treatments to the street, are we limited on Washington because of its nature as an arterial or a state? I mean, is there some, because I know in the past, and I know there's been an amendment or a new municipal law, Does that limit what we can do on Washington Street as far as the warrants and everything like that, the amount of traffic that goes down there? Like, if we wanted to put in a crosswalk where a hawk would be on such a major arterial like that, would that be even in the realm of possibility, or is that something that we can't even do because Washington is such a busy street?
Well, what you want to do first and foremost is make sure what you put in is safe.
Yeah.
So we actually just looked at a potential crosswalk in front of the Trader Joe's. One, there wasn't enough pedestrian volume necessarily to merit it. This could be a different story. But on a four-lane road that has the volumes here, if you were to just put in a crosswalk, you're really maybe doing a safety disservice.
I didn't mean a crosswalk without any signal. I just meant a shorthand for like a hawk. I mean, are we even? Is that even a possibility on a road like Washington?
Yeah, in fact, the hawk signal was designed for wider roads like this, slightly higher speeds and higher volume. So if the pedestrian volume merits it, and we really do have a situation where there's a very strong desire line, the hawk would be probably the preferred treatment.
Okay, because I've seen it on two lanes, like, Parker and Parker, both sides of 9, but... Okay, great. Awesome. That's the rest of my question.
All right. Anything else for DPW, for Ms. Friedman, for the commissioner? Okay. All right. Planning, legal, do you have anything you want to add this evening? All right. Mr. Bookbinder, is there anything you want to add to our deliberations as we get close to our witching hour?
We're good.
All right. Councillor Albright, I'm sorry.
So I have a question not related to traffic. Can I ask that?
Yes, whatever you'd like.
So I understand your lighting consultant is here tonight. Is that correct?
Yes.
So can I ask how the back of the property will be lit, and so that I can understand what the impact would be for Foster Street?
Sure, Karen.
Good evening. I'm Carrie Hawley. Not only am I a lighting consultant, independent lighting consultant, architecture degree, Master of Architecture, and Master of Science in Lighting. I come with 25 years of expertise in lighting design consulting. I also am a resident of Newton. I live in Newton Highlands, 22 Brushville Road, and I take this project extremely seriously since I also live very close to Avalon and have lived through the effects of the building and construction and after effects of that property. And I have reviewed this project with the design team. I was brought on because of their concern to make sure that this is a quality installation, thoughtfully designed. And I can speak and attest to the fact that they have taken really serious attempts to design this to best practices of sustainability, sensitivity to the neighborhood, dark skies, and compliance with limiting any kind of light trespass into the adjacent property. They're using house-side shielding in the design. They're using appropriate scaled luminaires. They're using appropriate color temperatures with high color rendering index and low overall light levels that would be appropriate for the neighborhood. So without going on, I just want to tell you that I have a personal interest in this project to make sure that it goes through successfully and well. If it's going to be done, I think it's going to be a benefit to the community, and I'm confident that they are doing everything in their power to make that happen. Thank you.
So will you have a lighting plan? What I'd love to see is a lighting plan and understand its impact. What you said was interesting, but I don't really know what you're doing.
Yes, okay. So just we can get into specifics another time if you wish, but we're designing to ISNA recommended levels. That means it's not going to be overlit. It will also identify along the property line that they are not trespassing light into the adjacent property per guidelines that everybody uses. So all of those sorts of measures to make sure that you don't have any of those issues, it will be available for review.
Okay, that's great.
All set. All right. It is 5 of 10, and we are going to adjourn for this evening. We take this matter up again when, Ms. Khan, remind me? January 12th. Is that a Thursday night? Another Thursday night meeting for the Land Use Committee. The public hearing will be open. We will have a draft board order posted by then. Remember, it's just a first draft. But if you speak at the next hearing, you're welcome to comment on anything, but it would be really helpful if you concentrate your comments on the language of the order, what we're missing, anything like that would be most helpful. Thank you all very much. Thank you for the petitioner staff. Good evening.